It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on into the show, the very first edition of Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Alex Keery. He is Scott Mitchell. Thank you so much for being a part of our show today. Even if you're just dipping in to say how much you hate those two new guys, we appreciate you being here. We love that. Listen, I'm all about it. I've got some hate tweets.
We thrive on hate.
I've got some hate tweets to read later, but it doesn't even matter to me. You know why, Scott? Because I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for us to get started on this show. It's a massive endeavor for us. And so we got to start off the show, first of all, saying, as I said, I'm Alex Keery. He is former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. To my right, you'll always be to my right for some reason, and every time we've been in any studio, every setup, this is a thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I can't see out of my other eye, so I
know.
I just look
it's
at
perfect.
You with one eye, and it works.
It's perfect. So, very first show, right out of the gate, and I think we're going to be doing this periodically just because we have to help people out, know who the new guys are a little bit. So let's start out here. I want people to know who Scott Mitchell is, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, Hall of Fame, Crimson Club, but probably the one that you hold most near and dear to your heart, Nebo School District Hall of Fame. So that's one that I think everybody will always
And it wasn't
remember.
For educational purposes, just so we understand.
Oh, it wasn't an academic letter?
No.
I always love those guys with the academic letter jacket.
No, not at all.
It's pretty sweet.
Well, I grew up in Utah, and, you know, the thing for me, I grew up in Springville, Utah, a small town, and I lived my childhood dream. I mean, as a kid, I was like, I want to play in the NFL. And I actually wrote that down as my career choice in the sixth grade. Ended up being drafted by the Miami Dolphins, went to the University of Utah. I grew up in – I'm related to Lavelle Edwards. Mm. I was supposed to go to BYU.
Yeah, you
I
were.
Played quarterback. And it worked out great for me. I had an amazing career as a professional athlete. I moved back to the state of Utah. I've lived in a lot of parts of the country, but I'm telling you, I absolutely love living here. I think it's an amazing place to raise a family, to live, to be a part of. And so just and I love sports, and I love the opportunity to really share my voice and to share what I've experienced in my life, but also in athletics. And I bring a perspective, a unique perspective of someone who's lived professional sports at the highest level for quite some time and played the position of quarterback. So I understand a lot of the professional game. I understand just the ins and outs, the psychology of everything that happens in sports. And I love to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I love doing this with you. We've done this show together for quite some time now, and it's just really fun that we have these just amazing conversations, and our look at life and sports is just, it's unrivaled. And
oh, there you
that's
go.
What I feel.
You know, I think when we initially made the name of the show, it was to, because you know, just like the blue and red fighting was kind of annoying to us. I think just kind of a. But I mean, don't get me wrong. We have our fair share of spats when it comes to rivalry stuff. But I think that what we're really interested in is that I want to showcase Scott. If people want to come meet Scott too, like when we're out and about, which we are today at Hidden Valley Eye Care here in Draper, you can come see us, and we're hanging out all afternoon, 3 to 6. So you might as well come out and high five Scott Mitchell. you just come all the way up 123rd South to about 11th East. And so the Treehouse Gym, we're just above it here. You can come by, high five Scott, and get some Jazz gear as well. But this is an awesome thing for us because we're not new to this. We're not new to making a radio show.
No.
We're not used to hosting a show together. Or we're not not used to these things. We've been doing this for a long time. I came over from KSL News Radio, haven't been there almost 16 years now. And so being on the air and talking about stuff, I was in a regular talk format for a long time. But I shoved my way into, like, BYU coverage because we were the home of BYU over at KSL, of course.
And I'm a BYU homer now, apparently.
Yeah. No, that's my favorite is that people are like, dude, Scott Mitchell loves the Cougars now, man. You got to watch out for that guy. He does, but it's a totally different.
No,
Cougar
he doesn't
that
love
of.
The Cougars. He covers the Cougars.
So that's what I've been doing. I started Cougar Sports Saturday over on KSL News Radio, and did the pre and post game shows for that broadcast team for a handful of years as well. Since 2008, I've been covering BYU. So I think that I don't know. Running down the resume of what we've done, fine. The reality is we got to hang out with people who are now going to be our listeners to The Zone and unrivaled on The Zone, which is a new era for us. We're excited about it. We're pumped. We love talking about anything. We just love to jump in with all of these sports topics that are super important to us. We, of course, have a ton to get to today because of the Jazz opening home game tonight, opening regular season game as well. And we're just we'll just roll out a little bit about who we are. You'll kind of find out who we are as you get going here listening to our show. 3 to 6, and then I guess 3 to 7, actually. So we're excited. Today, of course, we're going to walk you into Jazz coverage and all these guys. So part of my other background I was going to say, too, is I was an intern at 1280 The Zone back in 2004. So I knew a lot of these guys. I've known most of this team for a long, long time, and we've seen each other at sporting events for, a couple decades. So I know who these guys are. We've jammed quite a bit. And I know change is weird. I know change is different. It's weird for us. It's different for us. But you know what? I'm just really looking forward to being a part of this. And not being on KSL News Radio will be a weird thing for me. But I've always wanted to be in sports radio, Scott. So this is kind of my dream, man.
We're always across the street, so it's close. There's the closest affiliation.
You walk by, like have a tear roll down the cheek.
Yeah. You won't. You'll be fine. My experience in life, I've learned that change is, it's the best way to grow. It's the best way to learn. And it's uncomfortable. It feels weird in the beginning. It's awkward. But at the end of the day, you really develop as a person. And we're excited about this connection and this relationship between The Zone and KSLSports.com and what this can become. And we're all fans of sports. And we love what sports brings to the world and what we learn from ourselves and how intricate it's woven into our societies and our communities. The Jazz means something to the folks in the state of Utah. It means something to me, and so do the Utes and the Cougars and everything else, even RSL and all the other sports programs here. And so we're excited to be right in the epicenter of all of this and being able to share this with you. And so we're just, let's just get going.
Do we just sound like we're like awkward on a weird first date with each other? We're like talking fast, going, I really like sandwiches. I really like hanging out. I like sports. I like all sports. I even throw in soccer just to like hope that maybe like somebody will like.
Oh, I don't like soccer.
I know,
I don't
you threw out Real like right there. That's
well,
warning. I threw it out. Very uncharacteristic of you.
Well, no, that there's people. That's the most I'm going to talk about it. Why are we even talking about
but
it?
That's
now?
What I said. It's like first date stuff. You don't throw out things you're interested in when you're not that interested in it, buddy.
I like puppies and the color tan, and I like all kinds of things.
Color tan. All right, how we start our show off and how we start each hour of our show off every day is with a segment we like to call The Cut. So we're going to kick things off right here. The stories that make the cut, and here's the very first one on The Zone Sports Network and unrivaled. Here you go. It's The Cut.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
NBA opening day, of course, super excited about the Utah Jazz kicking off against the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. This is a great one, Scott, to start off with. I know that I've heard of
Why
people all
great?
Day because everyone's been saying
is
all day.
Is it great because you think the Jazz are going to win?
No,
on
the Oklahoma
first game?
City Thunder have so many young guys. It's just great talent. They're going to be way more improved than they were last year. That spells out to me that the Jazz are going to get a W on night one, and that's all I care about. In the end, there are a lot of questions that are going to come up with this Jazz team. Most of them surrounding some of the new pieces who are going to get minutes for Jared Butler. I know a lot of questions also going to be thrown out about what's Hassan Whiteside look like in this lineup? What about Eric Pascal? How are they going to figure out these new guys working into the lineup? And at the same time, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, are these guys going to end up being all-stars again? Are they going to have the best record in the regular season in the NBA? I want to know what's going to be different this year for the Utah Jazz, Scott.
Well, I think one of the things that always happens, it seems like former Jazz players, because Derek Favors is coming back to face the Jazz, and they always seem to play better. It's like, where did this guy come from, or why? And not that Derek Favors wasn't a good player for the Jazz. He was. He clearly had a drop-off last season from previous years. And so I always just wonder why these players actually come back and do a better job. And then the Jazz, yeah, they made a few adjustments, but the core team, I mean, the first seven guys on this roster are the same. And you have to ask yourself, was that enough, you know, of keeping the same team basically here enough to make the Jazz competitive? I mean, look, we want to win championships here. We haven't ever won a championship. You have a new owner in Ryan Smith. It's exciting, a lot of the changes that he's making, but is this Jazz team competitive, and are they a team that actually can make a run for a championship? And to me, I guess my question is, with the team being relatively the same as it was a year ago, is that enough to be a championship team, or are there some more significant changes that have to happen?
I wonder what roles guys like Joe Ingles are going to play now. I think that as each year go along, you kind of go, okay, is Jingling Joe going to have that magic still? Or is he going to fall off production-wise? You look at guys like Bogey, who we've watched the production go up and down for him. And I want to know what all these guys are going to do when everything starts up tonight, and where injuries, of course, end up being a part of the equation for the Jazz. Every year, last year, when you think about having that best regular season in the NBA, and then having the playoffs, where I think everybody looked at that and thought to themselves, that's a flop, right? Just because they had the regular season that they did. But nobody in their right minds had it in their head that it was going to be that this team was going to win or have the best record in the regular season. And then we certainly, after that happened, we didn't think to ourselves that the Jazz were going to go out so early in the playoffs in such a spectacularly terrible defensive showing against the Clippers. And so I'm wondering what it's going to end up looking like and what the identity of the team is going to be. I think Quinn Snyder's got some up his sleeve. I think that this team is going to turn
up his sleeve.
Well, he's got all those bracelets and stuff on. I'm not talking about
those.
He does
have a lot of bracelets. I wonder what they all mean. Here's what I don't understand. It's like, how can you go through the regular season and you're the best team in the league, and then all of a sudden you get in the playoffs and they go, oh, we're going to trick you. We're going to actually use a new defense. Like, we're going to defend you differently, or we're going to play you differently. And is it just about matchups where – You know, the Jazz ran into the Clippers a year ago, and it just was. Is it just that they aren't a good matchup? Or how do you not know this stuff during the regular season, and why can't you be prepared for it or make adjustments going into the playoffs? It just felt like the Jazz didn't have answers for some of the things that they saw that were different than they would see in the regular season. First of all, I don't understand why they wouldn't see that during the regular season. And second, it's like, you know, how can you not make adjustments? And is it your personnel? What is it? I guess that's one question that's always in my mind. Because you go, well, the Milwaukee Bucks were kind of the Milwaukee Bucks all year long. I mean, they didn't change anything, and they won a championship. Yeah. You know, and I mean, the same thing with Golden State, when everyone knew who they were, and they didn't magically all of a sudden just change all of. Is it just that they have the pieces in place and the Jazz don't? I don't know. I just don't understand it.
So much of it has to do with the Jazz success is going to be teetering on how good the West really is going to be again, too. And I watched the Lakers in that Golden State Warrior game last night, and I just thought, gosh dang it, there's so many dang good ball players in the West. I mean, it was nice to see Russell Westbrook hitting the rim and just having that thing bounce off. But I'm telling you, Steph Curry had a triple-double last night, man. That guy doesn't do triple. He doesn't have triple-doubles. His first triple-doubles is 2016, and I'm going, these are the guys that are going to have to be facing a healthy, relatively healthy Warriors team again. And, I don't know when. It's never going to be the Jazz's year. You know what I mean? No one's ever going to say, hey, man, this is the Jazz's year. They have to make it their year, right? And so I just don't know what the production is going to look like with these new pieces. I know that the you know everybody talks about the gel factor that these guys will gel together, and I'm like, this team has been together quite a bit. I don't know what, you know, by the end of the year, are we just going to kind of go, yeah, Rudy Gay was a nice addition, but it didn't really do much for the team. Are we going to look and go, I cannot believe that Jared Butler has suddenly turned into another Donovan Mitchell. I mean, it could be as exciting as that, or it could be as much as just going, yeah, it's a really, really good team still. Are they going to end up a 3 or 4 seed in the West? Are they going to be at the tops, of the tables? I don't know, but I do know that there's a ton of excitement in the air, and in the NBA in general, I think that the West is still the class of this place. I still think that everybody looks at those teams out east and goes, a lot of those are hot messes, and except for the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, I'm excited to see what the Jazz are going to end up
doing.
Donovan
Mitchell every year has improved, right? And you've just seen his game has gotten more in depth. He's elevated his game, and he's come through. I mean, in the playoffs, and he was really good in the playoffs a year ago. Even with the injury that he had, he still showed up. And I just wonder where does his game, has he reached his max level, or what's the next evolution of Donovan Mitchell this year? And I think that's a fun thing to look forward to. And you know, when I see these athletes who you continue to see them progress and grow and get better every year, and you just say that's a lot of talent right there, and that's a team that has the potential to win championships when you figure out how to win and you figure out how to you know improve your game or overcome some of those deficiencies. And it takes losing a couple times. The Bucks are a great example of that. They've been kind of a favorite or a favored team for a few years, and then they, you know, I don't think people expected them to win it last year, and they matured in a level, and Giannis and his game has evolved, and they found a way to understand what it actually took to win a championship. So to me, that's another curious thing, and I think it goes along with Rudy Gobert as well. You know what? It just seems like Rudy Gobert is a different player from the Olympics. It looks like his game has improved. It looks like he's stronger inside. He's more of a physical presence as opposed to just being a really long, big body in there, or a tall body. I wouldn't say a big body, but he seems to have more of a, this is my domain, and you're out of here. And that's saying something to a guy that's won multiple defensive player of the year
awards. Is this the first year for a three-pointer from Rudy Gobert? Well, he took that 17-footer the
other
night in the
preseason
game.
What's going to happen to people if he actually does it?
I mean, the place is going to melt down. Are you kidding?
The mid-range jump shot was, I don't know if it's a jump shot, but it's
look, that thing's
swishing. It's a toe-tip shot, right? It's just his toes kind of go up off the ground, and you know, because it's kind of a weird thing, a jump shot at over 7 feet, and it's like you're shooting the ball down.
Look, try it out. What you need to do here, I'm going to give a plan. I'm going to give a blueprint for Rudy Gobert. To just be an absolute, I mean, to just go down in history. He's already a legend. But let me just give a little piece of advice to Rudy Gobert for this. Take a three on the road, miss it horribly, okay? And then come back home.
Get the cobwebs out,
listen,
right?
You gotta hit that thing at home. You know what I mean? Boy. You hit that first one at home. I'm telling you, Vivint Smart Home Arena is going to.
I think it has to come like early in the game, the first offensive set of the game.
It's funnier when they're up 20, like when it's the end of the game and all the guys are on the bench laughing while he's shooting it. That's the best.
Well, and Gobert comes to the top of the key, you know, when he does all his picks and everything, and then he gets the ball
and
he's passing and he does a step back three.
Right. And you know what the defender does? They step back too because they're like, go for it. I love this. Why not?
And then he goes and does a step back and drive the lane, yeah. You know, shot, and so he's indefendable, right?
I think he's going to be good from the logo this year. It's going to be a very Donovan Mitchell type shot. So as you look at this, one of the things that I was looking at too is that the Jazz taking on Oklahoma City. It's one of those teams that, you know, for as much as you can study who the Thunder are, I mean, it's still a team that's rebuilding. They have a ton of draft picks over the next couple of years. They're banking on this year not being one that they're going to be, you know, making a run here. So I think that you look at that and go, I don't know what to expect from this Oklahoma City Thunder team. It's not a right out of the gate taking on the Lakers, the Warriors, the Clippers right off the bat. I think it's a good start for the Jazz. I think it's something that we're that I'm going to look forward to tonight as we watch the Jazz tip off for the very first time.
I don't even care about the regular season.
I know you don't.
I did, and I thought it was cool. The Jazz had the best record in the NBA.
Well, you're jaded.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. Home court advantage doesn't have the same kind of impact that maybe it had in the past. So I don't know that it matters. What matters is that the Jazz are healthy and that they're playing their very best basketball when the playoffs come around.
We got a couple things going on here. First of all, today we're going to be chatting a little bit throughout the show about a lot of things. Now, if you haven't heard our show Unrivaled before on KSL News Radio, no fault of yours, because most of the time people aren't listening to their car that late at night. But maybe you've downloaded the podcast, listened to it. We have the Players Club every week where we have Jaren Hall, BYU's quarterback, come on with us for an hour. We have Devin Kaufusi, Utah defensive lineman, who comes on for an hour with us. And we've got a couple of clips we want to play from that to break down some BYU, to break down some Utah all show long. And we also have a lot going on here because it's our first show, Scott. So they've set up a lot of things for us. Scotty G told me we're going to be giving away some tickets today every hour. We've been doing it all day long. It's a home game for the Jazz, so that's the standard. We're going to be giving away tickets as well coming up in just about 15 minutes, so you don't want to miss any of that. We're going to give out the number, and then you can call for those tickets. For the Utah
I'm not
Jets.
Eligible for that, though, right? I can't get the Jazz ticket.
Now you can. Man. Previously, Scott was one of those callers.
I hate that.
This is Scott Mitchell. I mean, this is Mrs. Mitchell. Yeah. You're not eligible to win the ticket, Scott. So, but we've got Jazz gear, and I'll tell you where you can come up and actually see them. It's at Hidden Valley Eye Care. Easy enough to find. 123rd South, you come all the way up to about 11th East, and you'll see it up here on the left. And it's a beautiful location. And Dr. Mackey is joining us today. And Dr. Mackey, you guys, first of all, this is a full-service deal for you guys. You want people to come in and get all of their eye care needs taken care of, whether it's those prescription sunglasses, whether it's anything from top to bottom, you can help them out, right?
Absolutely. We're here for everybody. Yeah, we really pride ourselves on customer service and just providing the best care possible. We have a lot of unique product, a lot of really name brand frames. Probably one of the only offices in the state of Utah, for example, that has Chanel brand, which is really popular with the ladies. And we have a pretty cool piece of technology called the NeuroLens.
Tell us about that, because I know that people that we were talking about this a little bit before. This is an actual technology that can like reduce headaches. Isn't that what you were talking about?
Yeah, we have a measurement device here that measures any misalignment between your eyes that could be causing headaches, neck strain, and eye fatigue, discomfort with computer use. Those things. Because a lot of times the headaches that we are experiencing on a daily basis are stemming from that misalignment in our eyes.
See, I always thought my headaches came from dealing with Alex every day. But
how long was this going to last?
I know.
Right?
So people can come in and you can give them an exam, and it's a fairly easy process.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah, straightforward. We would just start off with a questionnaire. They go through and they tell us what it is they're experiencing. I get that questionnaire. I look at their results and talk a little bit more with them and then decide whether or not they're, a candidate. We measure them, see if that misalignment is present. About 70% of the time it is.
Interesting.
And then from there we prescribe, these glasses that have that extra correction in them. And we have about a 93% success rate at reducing symptoms.
This is an easy place to find. Beautiful location, by the way. If you just come up 123rd South, it's called Hidden Valley Eye Care. That's where we're going to be all this afternoon. We've got Jazz gear to give away. We want you to come up, high-five Scott, meet our local NFL legend, come in, high-five. If you're a Utah fan, you can do that too. I mean, a lot of Utah fans come in. A lot of BYU fans come in and talk trash. Why not? So, Dr. Mackey, we're going to be here the rest of the afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. And when we come back, we've got much more to go here on Unrivaled. Our very first day here on The Zone, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. When we return, we've got much more to go. Around the corner, our Jazz insider on KSLSports.com and the host of 10 to Noon Now. Heard his first show today. Really excited about Ben Anderson joining us again. He's come on our show a million times, so this is going to be good for us. Talk a little bit of Jazz on our first Jazz home game of the season. It is Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Good radio partner, as you guys have been on the air so long together and done it so well.
we're looking at this thing and we're wondering what to be excited about. I know that the names, the main names that pop out, of course, are the Utah Jazz. Get you excited about the Jazz with your Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert. New names being added in, of course. And then I think people want to know what the roles that the guys like Jordan Clarkson are still going to play. Is he still going to be the sixth man of the year contender like so many are kind of pegging him to be? What should I be watching tonight? What's the most exciting thing, storyline, coming out of this Utah Jazz team as they tip off for the first time tonight, Ben?
Yeah, I know we've talked about it quite a bit, but certainly what happens with Jared Butler and whether or not he's going to be able to crack the rotation after playing so brilliantly in three of the Jazz 4 preseason games. And he just didn't play in the other one. It's not like he played poorly. But he ended up leading the team in scoring and assists to the preseason. So watching his role, and then he let it slip today during shoot-around that he's in the rotation. He said he's going to get minutes. He doesn't know how many it is, but he does know he's going to be playing. And that's a sign that, you know, Quinn Snyder recognizes that this is a player that can help the team. And this is a team that wants to win a championship this year. So if they feel like they have a young player who can get on the floor and help, and look, he'll be a step back initially from Joe Ingles or Jordan Clarkson or Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley. Those guys are just so good and have been in the league for so long that Jared Butler's not going to know those tricks. But if Quinn Snyder's already putting him in the lineup and letting him get minutes here and there in, you know, every game's important, that's a huge deal, and that's a good sign that the Jazz feel confident in their draft pick. But I'd also keep an eye on Elijah Hughes, who had a quietly very good preseason as well. Does a lot of the same things that Royce O'Neal does, and the Jazz could use another perimeter defender who hits threes. Those guys are worth millions in the NBA, as is everybody, but really those guys are ultra valuable, and the Jazz have them on a cheap contract right now.
So what I'm trying to figure out, Ben, is here this Jazz team a year ago had the best record in the NBA. They looked like they were going to go to the finals. They looked like they had a shot to go to the finals. And then they get into playoffs, they run into the Clippers, and all of a sudden they don't have an answer for the defense that the Clippers employed against them. And how do you not have answers, and why is that a situation? Now everyone talks about better perimeter defense. Why wouldn't the Jazz know that during the regular season and have a plan for that as they go into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think some of that, there's twofold, maybe it's really three reasons. First of all, the injuries. You know, Donovan Mitchell was playing hurt. You didn't have Mike Conley against the Clippers. And Mike Conley is certainly the Jazz's most veteran defensive player, certainly on the perimeter. He's probably not the best. I think that probably still goes to Royce O'Neal, but Mike Conley's very good. He's better than Donovan Mitchell at this point in his career defensively. So you lost him, and that was a big loss, because then you were counting on Joe Ingles, who just doesn't move as quickly as Mike Conley does, or Jordan Clarkson, who's not a very good defensive player. So that was one issue. Donovan Mitchell was also playing hurt. He was only on one leg, and that certainly hurt the Jazz. Second of all, you know, Rudy Gobert in a one-off is so hard to match up against. And look, teams during the regular season, yeah, you scout your opponent. Yes, you try and do things to take away their main plays before games, but you have 24 to 48 hours to get ready for that next team. You can't really get down to the nitty-gritty of saying, hey, what if we try this matchup and put this player who's rarely used at center or at forward or at guard and see if that changes the way the Jazz guard us, and if so, does that allow us to exploit them? You know, it's not football where you have a week to prepare for anybody. In the playoffs, you do. You do start getting that extra time to look at one team because you play them anywhere from 4 to 7 times. So when you can start doing that to this Jazz defense with Rudy Gobert, you can say, well, let's put a small guy on the perimeter and not have anyone in the paint and make Rudy Gobert choose. Is he going to guard a wide-open three-point shooter, or is he going to leave him open and hope that he misses? The Jazz hoped Terrence Mann would miss, and he didn't. He just seemed to hit every shot in the second half of that series for the Clippers. And then, you know, secondly, the Jazz perimeter defenders just weren't staying in front of him, and I think that was a result of how well the Jazz played during the regular season, where they build these enormous leads against these teams, in part because Rudy Gobert is so good defensively, but also because they shot so well. And then all of a sudden, you just don't really have an ability to adjust and fix that, because you thought you had the solution during the regular season. I don't want to say it was fool's gold, but it's a little bit hard to maintain that when you get into the postseason, when you're not blowing everyone out by 27 points.
Ben Anderson's our guest right here, KSLSports.com, where you can read his byline. You can hear him Monday through Friday right here with Jake Scott, 10 to noon on the Zone Sports Network. I want to go back to Jared Butler for just a second. I think the rookie is intriguing because I don't know what it is that, like, what would be the best version of Jared Butler? Like, is it just kind of working in and getting a few minutes, or what does the ceiling look like for that guy on this particular team? Because there's so many good guys in the normal rotation. What's the best version of Jared Butler going to be in the future for the Jazz?
Yeah, I think that is the hard part. There's four players ahead of him in the rotation right now that are better than he is and that help you win. And Jared Butler's really good. That's no knock on Jared Butler, but you know, Joe Ingles knows how to help you win games. Jordan Clarkson knows how to help you win games. So I think you're probably talking 8 minutes right now that he gets on the floor, and what you hope is there's just not a major drop-off from a guy like, you know, Jared or from Jordan Clarkson or Joe Ingles. You hope that Jared Butler steps in and can certainly play, you know, close to that level. And if he does as a rookie, I mean, that's just phenomenal. Very few players are ready to step in. You remember both of those guys finished top two right in the sixth man of the year ranking. So I don't anticipate necessarily seeing that. But he needs to come in. He needs to keep spacing the floor. He can probably defend at a little bit higher level. He's not huge. He doesn't have a big wingspan. But he was a pretty good defender at Baylor. That whole team was. So if he can do that, that could certainly be an asset for the Jazz. And then some of his playmaking, his ability to get into the paint and get others involved. Again, as I said, he led the team in assists during the preseason. So he's got a little bit better vision than maybe a guy like Jordan Clarkson, which keeps everyone involved and could keep that offense churning a little bit cleaner when he comes into that second unit.
Is his presence, the fact that he's going to get minutes and might get minutes, does that up the game for someone like Joe Ingles or Jordan Clarkson? Say, hey, you know, my minutes are going to go down, or you know, I better step up my game. I mean, is that the maybe the unintended impact that might happen with Jared Butler?
I think Joe Ingles might be happy to give up minutes at this point in his career. I don't think Joe loves playing 30-minute games, in all honesty. And you know, I mean, he's competitive, and he wants to be on the floor, and he hates missing games. So, you know, it's not like Joe Ingles doesn't want to play. But, you know, he might be happy to play 25 minutes. And, in fact, it might make him several million dollars if he can, you know, extend his NBA career by playing 4 or 5 minutes less a night at this point and kind of dwindle down. If he wants to stick around in the league and can be really good playing 20 minutes a night as opposed to 28, look, that can, you know, that honestly could make him another $25 to $30 million in the NBA. So guys look at that. Guys understand that, you know, keeping their body healthy and sticking around longer is going to be good for their bottom line. And then Jordan Clarkson, you know, Quinn Snyder seems to really like to play him in this sweet spot of about 25 minutes a night. So, you know, that can fill the full rotation at the guard spot. But if you're up and you can trust that you can keep Donovan Mitchell on the bench a minute or two longer, or Mike Conley doesn't need to play as much with his hamstring injuries he's had over the last 2 years, I think Quinn Snyder would like that. I think Mike Conley would probably welcome that a little bit as well. So I definitely think you can steal 8 minutes in a game between those four guys and say, hey, those are going to be Jared Butler's minutes to start, and then see what happens. You know, if he's good enough to eventually take over one of those spots, every single one of those guys has enormous value. Now, they're not trading Mike Conley. They're not trading Donovan Mitchell. And that's not to say I'm implying that they're willing to trade Joe Ingles or Jordan Clarkson. You know, they're a championship contender right now, and you don't want to take a step back. With guys who can help you win, but they're also going to be, you know, $30 million in the luxury tax this year, and that's a big bill to pay. And if you have a guy who can step in and make $800,000 a year the way I think Jared Butler does and get real rotation minutes and save you $30 million in a trade, and you can get draft assets back, you know, and front offices look at that type of thing. You know, they want to see how they can improve everywhere. And look, saving money isn't just going into the owner's pocket. I mean, that makes it more flexible to change pieces, add pieces, to get better draft picks. That gives you more flexibility in the offseason to continue to tinker with the lineup. So, you know, nothing's off the table at this point with Jared Butler. And that we're very much putting the cart before the horse. You know, he's never played an NBA game yet. It's hard to say that he's going to be that good.
Listen, that's what we're good at. We'll
but the potential, I mean, the potential's the potential's there. Yeah, I mean, you know, I like that that depth kind of creates, you know, like longevity. And
sure,
because the season's a long season, and if you can save guys, you know, as the season goes on, so that they're fresh, they're fresher at the end of the year, well, you know, that I think that's a great weapon to have.
Ben, what's the tough love, you know, kind of conversation you have to have with Jazz fans about this team? Like, what's the big worry? What's the thing that you look at and you go, that has to be addressed right away? It needs to be something that the Jazz, you know, they have to lock this up. They have to be good at this. Or what's something that's a worry for you with this Jazz team this year?
Yeah, coming into the season, they really only have 8 players, you know, and that's not including Jared Butler, who makes them 9. But yeah, as we mentioned, whatever minutes he gets, the Jazz could already fill with players they already have. But they went out and they signed Rudy Gay to be in the 9-man rotation, and he's not going to be to start the year. We don't know when he's going to come back. It shouldn't be too long, but even then, he's got to get his legs back. He's got to get his lungs back. He's got to, you know, figure out what his role is in this team. So they're entering without Rudy Gay, who's supposed to be a top 8 or 9 guy on this roster, so they're already missing a piece. That means they're going to rely, I would suspect, on Eric Paschal or either Elijah Hughes, who haven't done it on a championship-level team before. So I think that's one of the things I would caution. And then you know, they didn't really go out and address the perimeter defensive issues unless they're getting better effort inside, you know, with guys already on the roster. And that's certainly a possibility. There is room to grow in that backcourt defensively. But if they don't, you know, if those guys don't do it, the Jazz didn't go out and find a piece to fix it in the offseason. So the problems that plagued them last year in the playoffs could be an issue again this season.
Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com is where you can read his byline tomorrow. You'll get the best reaction from him online. Of course, you can go dip in on KSLSports.com. He's, I think, the best in the market, and we're looking forward to it. And then tomorrow, he and Jake Scott, 10 to noon, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We're looking forward to this new era. I'm so glad to be sharing a lineup with you, man, and we're excited to be doing this venture together.
Congrats on the maiden voyage, guys. Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We're going to take the break here. We are here at Hidden Valley Eye Care all afternoon long. You can come visit us here in Draper. Easy enough to find. I'll tell you how you can get here. 123rd South all the way up to 11th East. We're just located there just above the Treehouse Gym. So you can come find it. We've got Jazz gear to give away, so come by and get those. We've already given away one pair of Jazz tickets for tonight's game versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. So come down, hang out with us. Hidden Valley Eye Care here in Draper is where we're going to be all afternoon. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. It is unrivaled on see, I already had my first slip up, Scott. There it is. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports.
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled here on 97.5.
See, look at this.
This is a new day. 97.5, 1280 The Zone Sports Network. Powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. It's our first day on the job here with the Zone Network. We're at the Hidden Valley Eye Care Center in Draper. That's where I live, by the way, Alex. It's on 123rd.
You live at this place?
Well, you know, I try to come here as often as possible. it's the blind leading the blind until you get in here, and then they give you, you know, they give you vision care, and you can see when you leave. 123rd South, about 11th East. It's just east of the Treehouse. Everyone in Draper knows where that is.
Is that so? Because everybody goes, yeah, the Treehouse. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess.
Yeah, well, if you're a local here in Draper, you know where the Treehouse is,
yeah,
okay?
Draperite. That's you.
A Draperite, yes.
Yeah, first day on the show, Unrivaled has been a fixture on KSL News Radio's lineup for about 4 years. I did the Nightside Project for another 10 years before that. And Scott and I have been doing the show forever. Scott played in the NFL for a dozen years at quarterback, also the leading touchdown pass thrower in the history.
It's all the good records.
All the good passing records.
That's all you need to know.
The most passing yards all time at the University
yards,
of Utah.
Yards, touchdowns, completions, interceptions.
That's good.
Yeah, well, not the interceptions.
The interceptions, too?
Hey, if you're throwing interceptions, you're throwing touchdowns.
Okay. to somebody. Yeah. So we're here today, at
Well,
Hidden
that's
Valley
a trick, though.
Yeah,
to throw an interception for a touchdown—that's a special thing.
Well, Brett Favre—that was his—that was his whole thing. You get a touchdown, you get an interception, you get an interception. first day here at our new time slot here, 3 to 7. We're excited to have you guys. Jazz gear right here available for you at the Hidden Valley Eye Care. A couple things going on. Our very first market update we're going to give you right off the bat here, because you know we're at the end of the day here when it comes to the Dow Jones. So Dow Jones up today, solid day, 150 up, and you can also look at your so 152 that was up today. That's just about 0.5% on your markets there, and so we keep an eye on that, of course. And coming over from a newsroom from the KSL newsroom, that's we talk about this stuff all day, so. We're excited to keep doing the market updates. That market update brought to you by Try Day Trading. Now, anybody can be a day trader. Visit trydaytrading.com. We're going to jump into our BYU insider, Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. And it's I brought Mitch on because I was like, look, man, this feels like the right thing to do. He is our BYU guy. He's the guy that we trust so much on so much insider information. And so now to have him added to Hance and to be able to have all that huge, like, just BYU connection, Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com. Mitch, what's going on, man?
Hey, excited to be on with you guys. This is an exciting era for The Zone and KSL Sports. So happy to be on with you guys. Hope you're having a good day.
Oh, we're having a fantastic day. Mitch, right off the bat, I just have loved watching the drama that Wazoo has been going through this week. I mean, when we had Jaron Hall on earlier in the week on the Players Club,
we actually looked at it and we were like, "This, my heavens, they lost their head coach, their assistant offensive coordinator, their D-line coach, their O-line coach." And you know, I'm looking at it going, if that was BYU's case, what would be comparable? That would be Kalani Sitake gone, probably Ed Lamb. You're talking about your D-line coach, offensive line coach gone. I'm trying to think, like, how would they even operate? And Jaren Hall was like, my heavens, I don't know how we'd do it. Here's what he had to say about what the Wazoo players are going through right now with their head coach being let go and along with a lot of assistants.
It's unfortunate for the players, man. I feel bad for those guys. That's tough enough, you know, to lose a head coach, you know, as USC did. You know, you still got your assistants and you can kind of bounce back and still have a game plan, you know, and play ball. But to lose four of your assistants, and I believe one was the offensive coordinator,
yep,
as well, that's tough, man. I mean, that puts a lot of stress on the players. But, you know, I guess that could be seen as an opportunity for those players to kind of step up and you know, work even harder to game plan and scheme up for this next week. So in the end of the day, it might be something cool for them.
Mitch, your thoughts on what BYU's prepping for this week? I mean, at some point you just go, I don't know how Wazoo's doing this. So what can they expect with all these changes?
Well, I think there's still a chance that Washington State between now and Saturday could add some coaches to their staff to help assist, give some hands-on coaching that maybe know that run-and-shoot offense that Washington State runs. But this is going to be a tricky game, and it honestly sets up for BYU to where if they lose, that is a really bad loss. I think early in the season, how Washington State started out the year, you thought, hey, BYU, they're starting out undefeated. This looks like it should be an easy win for the Cougars in blue. But I think that, you know, BYU now, after Washington State's won three games, they still have that confidence. It's all about the players. And, you know, I think that Jaden Delora for Washington State's kind of taking on that leadership role for this team. If BYU doesn't come out ready to play and they just think, oh, they don't have their full coaching staff available to them and this is going to be a victory, it could be a real ugly loss for BYU. So they have to be dialed in, because BYU's physicality has been non-existent the past 2 weeks, and their defense, yeah, has a ton of struggles with getting off the field on third and long. So there's some answers that BYU's got to fix in their own right, too.
I actually, just on the surface, I think this is a great matchup for BYU in that defensive front for BYU is really designed to match up well against a spread team, which is what Washington State is. I think you have to feel better about that, because a team that's, you know, kind of a heavy run team is kind of giving BYU a bit of a challenge right now. What I'm curious about is, how do you game plan for a team you have, like, you have no idea what they're going to have? I mean, are you just going to game plan assuming that it's going to be what it's been, or what kind of insight do you have on how the Cougars are actually preparing for and what are they expecting from this Washington State team?
Yeah, they're expecting that run and shoot offense to still be ran, and again, you know, Washington State's looking to add some additional coaches possibly this week, so they're vetting you know, the process, the candidates to add some additional folks there on the Palouse to help out that have, you know, institutional knowledge of that run and shoot attack. So I think BYU, they've got to be just focused on themselves, because it's all about the players too. Whether it's the coaches are there or not, it comes down to these players. And, you know, for BYU, I think that they still have had a little bit more of a difficult situation recovering from losing linebacker Keenan Peely. At the moment when he suffered the season ending injury against Arizona State, I honestly thought, okay, it's a loss because he's a captain, but I really thought that BYU's depth at linebacker will be able to be okay. But it seems like his presence has been sorely missing for this defensive attack, and they don't have a leader right now. And I think that's been something that's been standing out from this team on the defensive side. And you could maybe say offensively, they don't have that vocal leader at the moment either. Jaren Hall's a nice leader by example, but he's been out for a few weeks earlier in the year. Tyler Algier's kind of a quiet guy. They don't have those clear-cut leaders this season. I think that's something that's sorely missing for BYU, that when you go into a spot like this against Washington State, where I think emotions are going to be high, it's going to be it's going to be an unprecedented setting, honestly, on the Palouse. BYU needs to, you know, have that leadership rise to the occasion and execute, because their physicality's been put to the test and been questioned by Kalani Sitake this week, so they got to rise up.
Washington State lives in dysfunction. I mean, Mike Leach was there. That's enough dysfunction for anybody. but they're just used to this. They're used to coaches leaving. They've had you know, some tragic deaths there. They've had these weird situations. So these players, this isn't new to these players. Like they've been through this before. Those players are going to show up for Washington
State. The other thing is interesting. So as you're looking forward to this weekend, are you going up to the Palouse there, Mitch? I mean, that's a great trip to take.
I will be there, flying into Lewiston, and I'll get my first taste of Pullman. So it's first ever trip to Palouse. I don't know what to expect, Scott. What pointers can you give me?
It's a great college town, really. It's an awesome environment. It's out in the middle of nowhere, but as far as the environment goes, amazing stadium, and the folks are passionate about Washington State football.
Massive fans there for sure, and yes. You can see the hay for as long as the eyes can see. Yeah. You'll see those hay.
You're
fields.
On an island.
It'll be out there. So Mitch Harper, he's our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and you can hear him also on KSL News Radio on Cougar Sports Saturday. But he's going to be joining us quite often, and so Mitch, we're really looking forward to this new venture and having you on with us quite often as well as we get those BYU insights. So thanks for being with us this afternoon, man.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Congrats on the show, and looking forward to all your success.
All right, Mitch Harper. Man, he's one of my favorites. Love having Mitch on the program. We've got a lot to go still the rest of this day here, and we're going to bring you much more here this afternoon. I'm going to tell you where we're at, Hidden Valley Eye Care. It's in Draper, 1147 East Draper Parkway, just above Treehouse, the Treehouse Gym. It's easy to find. We've got jazz gear to give away. But more importantly, we're sitting here with Dr. Mackey, who is helping us understand what it is. If somebody's looking for eye care and about getting the eye exams, about coming in and getting a new prescription, all those things, you guys take care of them from top to bottom. Is that right?
Yeah. We do a lot of glasses, prescription sunglasses, those kinds of things. We also fit specialty contact lenses, regular everyday contact lenses. We have a dry eye clinic here, sports vision training.
A dry eye clinic?
We have a dry eye clinic.
Because you suffer from dry eyes, Scott. Come on. Yeah.
So you help with dry eyes? What happens?
There's different severities of dry eye, and then there's also different types of dry eye disease. And so what we have to do is start off by determining how severe things are, because believe it or not, it's usually more severe than what you feel like it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Right? It's your normal. And so we figure out how severe it is. We then go on and figure out what type of dry eye you have and then make a specific plan to treat your,
So what are some of the symptoms of like dry eye? What would you experience?
Everybody's a little bit different. A lot of people don't know they have dry eye. Longtime contact lens wearers might not know they have it. But burning, irritation, your eyes might just feel tired, all the way down to fluctuating vision.
Interesting. So a lot of really, really high quality lenses, but of course those frames are what a lot of people are coming in looking for too. The Maui Jim, the Oakleys. You were talking about. I see some Prada lens or frames over there. You were talking about Chanel. That's kind of more of a higher dollar kind of Scott Mitchell vibe you get from the Chanel lenses. So I don't know. I mean, listen, they could.
What's wrong with Chanel?
No, I'm saying it's you can get the nicest lenses or the nicest frames to match that prescription, and this is the place to start, right?
Yes. Yeah, we got high-quality frames. We use the best and latest, greatest technology in our lenses, so your vision's perfect, everybody's pretty happy.
Dr. Mackey of Hidden Valley Eye Care, that's where we're going to be the rest of the afternoon, 1147 East Draper Parkway, and we're going to come back with much more to go, second hour of Unrivaled on 97.5 1280, the Zone of the Zone Sports Network. When we return, we've got Jazz Insider David Locke, who's going to join the program our very first time. Well, on the Zone, talking with David Locke. He's been on KSL News Radio with us. But now we're going to have the voice of the Utah Jazz join us next. We've got tickets to give away to the Utah Jazz. We've got so much more to go. Stay right here with us. It is Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled. Alex Keery, former NFL
quarterback Scott Mitchell over here to my right, and we are here at Hidden Valley Eye Care in Draper. Our very first show is on the road, so our very first show with the Zone. We are excited to be here.
I feel like I'm at home, Alex. I mean, I'm in Draper, my town.
This is we actually show prepped at Scott's house. That's how easy this thing was. We drove right over from Scott's house. By the way, I just wanted to point out, if you walk into Scott's house, you have all the. It's very intimidating because you've got these jerseys going up the wall, right? So let me see if I can get them all. Springville High School, yeah. University of Utah. You've got the Dolphins,
right?
Okay. And then it goes. Does it go the World League right after that? Or
yeah.
Okay, so the World League jersey on there, and then of course you've got the Ravens, the Detroit Lions. The Lions are kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
So they're right there, and then up around the corner, the one you're like the least proud of. It's like you have to like really search this one out. It's that Cincinnati Bengals jersey.
I don't know that I'm not proud about it. My whole time was amazing.
You liked the Cincinnati? Well, I mean, the some stuff was.
Well, I didn't like one pair of socks for an entire season.
Yeah, what makes all those franchises different? If there's one NFL franchise you played for that was like dialed up, like they had it all figured out, and they're like the class organization. I in my mind it wouldn't be Detroit. In my mind it wouldn't be Cincinnati. I don't know about Miami. It feels like it'd be kind of buttoned up with Don Shula there.
If I could have had the best of every world, I would have never left the Miami Dolphins and spent my whole entire career there.
Well, it's good to have Scott as a resource. I mean, we're excited to do this. If you're tuning in for the first time, we'll give you some background, too, because we've got Scott, who played in the NFL for a dozen years, University of Utah, Crimson Club Hall of Fame, all-time leader in touchdowns and yards as a quarterback up at the University of Utah. And, we've been doing the show about 4 years together over on KSL News Radio, and so we popped over basically just across the street now, and it's we're really excited. I worked at The Zone as an intern in 2004. That's how far back my history is with these guys.
You know, I didn't work there.
I know. If you walk into my house, there's microphones from all the different places.
Is there? Work.
No, yeah. Of course not. They wouldn't let you take one of those. Jeez. You can't frame a mic, Scott. I guess if you try hard enough, you can frame it.
Shadow box a mic. Are you kidding? I don't know how to do that stuff. I got decorating skills, Alex.
So I was on KSL for about 16 years, and I hosted the Nightside Project, and then Cougar Sports Saturday. Hosted studio host for pre- and post-game shows for BYU for all those years as we were the home of the BYU Cougars. So, grew up in a couple of places in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Up in Seattle's where I graduated from high school, did my first year of college, and then came down to Utah. Saw the light, came down to Utah. So here we are, and we've been living in Utah since. And yeah, we got a lot going on. So as we keep going through this, Scott, of all the things that you're excited about this new venture, what is it that you're the most excited about with us starting up this this radio show? Because we've been doing radio for a long time, but my whole thing is it's like right from the beginning, I want people to get to know us, but at the same time, like, what is it? I want people to know that Scott's passionate about all the stuff we talk about. Scott is on top of all the stuff that you love diving into all this stuff, but what's the thing you look forward to the most with this new venture on The Zone?
Well, I think that the state of Utah is, in general, passionate about sports. I don't know that there's a greater fan base in the NBA than the Utah Jazz fan base, and I'm a part of it, and I've been a part of it since I was a kid. I went to games growing up. I've got a basketball signed by John Stockton and Karl Malone, and quite frankly, it's one of my prized possessions. And I've lived and died by the Jazz my whole life, but I'm really excited to talk about sports, period. And I love the impact that it has on our cultures, and it does. And it's something that can be such a positive thing. It can be a thing that really brings us together. It creates an identity for us. I mean, here in Utah, the Utah Jazz bring us a national recognition. You have two teams now in college that are going to be in Power 5 conferences. That brings national recognition to what I think is the greatest place in the world to live, and that's here in the state of Utah. So I'm excited to be a part of a really electric environment and a passionate environment about sports.
We're really excited about it. I think we've got the voice of the Utah Jazz now here with us, David Locke, joining us on the program here. The very first edition of Unrivaled on the Zone Sports Network, 97.5, 1280, The Zone. We are excited to be here. Walking across the street from KSL News Radio is very exciting for us, and we're so excited to be talking with you, David Locke. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Scott, good to talk to you. Alex, good to talk to you.
We're excited. I know tonight you've got so much on your plate with the opening night for the Utah Jazz. You were super nice to come on this evening with us. And I mean, we're looking forward to this year like everybody else is. And I just don't know what even questions to ask about this team. In my mind, I'm like, I have all these questions. And yet, what's the biggest concern, I think, that Jazz fans are going to this season? Because you know the names that are already going to be here. It's the all-stars that are lined up, the people that you already know. But I think people are waiting to see guys like Jared Butler, waiting to see what Hassan Whiteside's minutes are going to look like. I think people are so excited about all this. But what is it that you're excited about, David Locke, with this season coming up?
Well, you know, on a personal level, and I think you're asking more as a team, but just to be back at it, right, in a more normal sense. For us, it's been just, you know, that's hard for me to avoid that as the answer. I know that's probably not what you're looking for because it's all about me and there's no me and team. Oh, wait, there is. you know, I think that this is, you know, they rank fourth in the NBA in continuity. 85% of their minutes are returning. And these guys are committed. I've been blown away since the first time we started interacting with them this year where their mindset was. It's pretty reasonable that their mindset could have been a little scarred from the playoffs each of the last 2 years. But I thought they came even more committed. I think the Milwaukee Bucks, what they did after their playoff hiccups, I think is a good model for them. And so I've been really impressed just with the mindset, the togetherness, and the commitment of these guys. And so I'm excited to see it play out.
Donovan Mitchell, every year he's been here, has just improved. And he's made this, you know, meteoric rise to one of the top players in the NBA. And you've seen the Jazz go further and further in the playoffs. And, of course, I think they had an abrupt end last year against the Clippers. And not, I don't think anyone expected that. But where is his game? Where does it have to go? Or where do you see Rudy, or Donovan's game going this season?
Well, he's made mammoth strides, as you mentioned, in his now fifth year. I do think, you know, this is – I'm not trying to quell hope, but, you know, LeBron, I think, won a title in his seventh, and – Giannis won a title in his eighth, if I've got it right. And Kawhi, without Tim Duncan, won a title in his seventh or eighth. Somebody else I was thinking the other day, I looked at what like Steph might have been in his seventh. You know, it takes a long time. Like, this is really, really hard to try to get to the top. And so there's a lot of little subtle pieces that I think come with it. Donovan talked to us the other day about efficiency, but not necessarily efficiency in the sense of shooting, but just in how he controls the game and his impact. And so I think that is part of it. If he could take, you know, one or two more threes a game and get to the free throw line for one or two more, he'll go from 25 points to 28, maybe even to 29. That's the natural. That's the jump Dame Lillard took at the same time. So from a personal standpoint, I think that's it. He's really an elite level catch and shoot guy. How can we get him more pure just catch and shoot opportunities so that he's not creating everything for himself? I think from a team offensive standpoint, and obviously these guys have got to guard the ball. Like, he was hurt on half a leg in that one, on that ankle, but these guys got exposed really badly by the Clippers with guys just driving down their throat. They're going to have to deal with it. You know, that's where this starts, is guarding your man better than you did a year ago, not relying on the big guy all the time.
Well, how does that happen, though? And this is a question that just bugs the heck out of me. Here the Jazz have the best record in the NBA all throughout the season. Wouldn't you know that going into the playoffs? I mean, is it just a matchup problem with the Clippers? Or how do you all of a sudden just get exposed in the playoffs? And why wouldn't you be prepared for that from the regular season? Why is it so different in the playoffs? Because it almost to me seems like, oh, who cares about the regular season? Let's just get to the playoffs, and we're going to play a different style of basketball.
Well, I mean, the coaching staff was perfectly well prepared for it, knew it was a possibility, and frankly knew it from when the Clippers did it to them in the regular season. There just aren't a lot of teams in the league that are capable of doing that to you. They went 6'8", 220 in four of their five positions with a dynamic point guard in Reggie Jackson at the other. There aren't many teams in the league that have that capability of having five guys that can shoot and drive on the floor at the same time. So that's the first part of it, is you're into the playoffs, you're against better teams, and that's who did it. You know, none of our guys are you know, you wouldn't talk about these guys as elite-level defenders. The coaching staff, I think, was well aware of it. They had worked on various systems against Dallas and the Clippers and Milwaukee and other teams that had those characteristics throughout the season. So to say they weren't prepared for it, I would pretty strongly disagree with. But they ran into a team that was, you know, statistically during the year, the second best team in the NBA, and was really, really good. And they got a guy in Terrence Mann who had an out of the world shooting experience, which made that work even better. It's, you know, the fact is the Jazz are the best pick and roll offensive team and the best pick and roll defensive team in the league. So if you're playing against the Jazz, the number one thing you want to do is not play pick and roll offense and not play pick and roll defense. The way you don't play pick and roll offense is you spread the floor five wide and drive. And the way you, and not run pick and roll, just go. Just old school, put your head down and go. And the way you don't play pick and roll defense is you switch everything on every pick that anyone runs, so you're just holding to a man. And that's what the Clippers did, and that's what people are going to do for the Jazz throughout the year. And it's going to be an 82-game process of getting better at it.
David Locke is the voice of the Utah Jazz joining us here on Unrivaled, our very first show here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. David, I think a lot, I mean, we got spoiled as people watching the Jazz to see Donovan Mitchell be basically, when we saw some of his first preseason games, you're like, this guy could be pretty good. And then, my heavens, he had a great rookie season, and then he took off from there. And then we have Jared Butler coming into to the franchise, and I think people look at that and go, hey, there's a similar kind of path there that he could follow. What are the expectations for this rookie coming in for the Utah Jazz, Jared Butler?
Yeah, so I'm not going to – I mean, one – Donovan's like a once-in-a-million 13th pick, wasn't he, at the draft?
And yes.
Jared's a 40th pick of the draft. Like, there's never – other than Nikola Jokic, and I'm trying to think, is there – I mean, Nikola Jokic is – the greatest second-round pick in the history of the league. I'm not sure you have second-round draft picks that have Donovan Mitchell level. So, but I do think Jared Butler showed in the preseason that he's got NBA skills. Like, he could be a big-time NBA starting guard, possibly, in this league. I just have Donovan at a really, really high level. I wouldn't want to put that on him. But I do think, for a 40th pick, what a heck of a pick. And has kind of blown me away in his ability to do things on the pro scale. Because when I watched his college tape, I thought he was small at 6'3", with a 6'4 wingspan, and he'd drive into the lane and he'd get suffocated a little bit. And in the NBA game, there's just so much more space, and his skill is just showing up. In fact, talking to him today, he said, the hardest thing has been the speed, but the thing that's been surprising or easier than he thought was the skill. So his handle's elite. His shooting's really elite. His off-the-bounce shooting's elite. Like, those three things right there are going to give him a real opportunity to be a nice player for us. But to start with, what we're really looking for, guys, is like 4 minutes a half. Can you just play 4 minutes a half? And it sounds little, but if he can play 8 minutes a night, maybe that's three less for Mike Conley and three less for Joe Ingles and two less for Donovan Mitchell. And when we get to April, May, and June, those could be the things that make the difference in April, May, and June. And then the other part of it is Mike's not going to play back-to-back this year. I don't think he did last year. I'd be surprised if he plays this year. Mike says he feels better than he's ever felt, but I still don't think you push it. There's no reason. Mm-hmm. So on those nights, can Jared Butler play 24? Can he play 28? And really give the team something. And so these little tiny increments he's going to get here early are to set him up so that when we play the Saturday-Sunday back-to-backs coming up here, I think we do like a Chicago-Milwaukee and a Miami-Orlando or something like that. Mike plays one of those and Jared stretches out in those other ones. And then that's where you hope he's all right on a defensive end and be able to handle the speed, for longer stretches. But to start, just little four-minute stints is fine.
So you talked when we started about this team and how, they could have had skeletons in the closet, I guess, from and scars from past postseason exits. And pretty much the core of this team has returned and has come back. And they all, get along, and there's this chemistry here with the team. How far does that chemistry take this team, and how important is it?
Well, I think we saw it take them to a one seed last year. I think it is important. They're going to have some times this year where it's going to be tough. They've got a lot of guys that like to shoot. Like Rudy Gay just came in. He shoots more than George Niang. Like, there's going to have to be some internal sacrifice on possessions as the year goes on And so you better believe in a higher cause that all of you are a part of it. Mike Conley was interesting talking to him yesterday about his decision to stay. I think Mike's in a really different place in that he chose to stay, right? We traded for him, and he picked up his option. But, like, he had other options this year. He chose to stay in Utah. And I think that puts him in a different mindset in the team, that he's a part of a journey with the group. And, you know, I think he said to me, I just realized how much I would miss out on and lose if I left. And so I think there has to be that collective energy to be able to do it. I mean, Scott, it's probably, you know, I always joke, though, about NFL. Like, if everyone was eligible, oh, boy, because you've never heard a team where wide receivers aren't complaining and the quarterback doesn't give them the ball enough. You've never heard running backs, a team without a running back who thinks he should get more carries. So could you imagine if everybody was eligible? Because in the NBA, that's the beauty of it. Everybody's eligible. Imagine Major League Baseball where there's no batting orders. And I can just send up Mike Trout for every at-bat if I want to. Because that's kind of, you know, like that's the dance that is so unique to the NBA.
David Locke, voice of the Utah Jazz. He's got the call tonight, of course, on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Utah Jazz Radio Network. And we're really looking forward to it. This is a fun thing for us to be able to get going into. Scott and I have been, of course, hosting together for quite some time. And so coming over to The Zone from KSL News Radio, we're massively excited about this thing. First broadcast, too. First home game broadcast. You're going to hear this thing on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. But you're also going to be able to hear it on KSL News Radio tonight as well. So 102.7 FM and 1160 AM all over the place, David. I mean, my heavens, with the Locked On Network, everyone is going to be able to hear as much David Locke as they can handle. So we are super excited about this. We're excited about getting this thing going. I want to ask you a Rudy Gobert question, though, before we get out. This guy seems like he kind of found a weird, different gear in, like, an attitude gear in the Olympics. Like, is there something different about Rudy? I mean, he's always been that massively aggressive, like, find that edge competitor guy. What did he dial in this summer to make his game go to that next level?
So I don't think there's anything new about him. Like, he's just been, I mean, the same guy who was as bitter as I've ever seen in my whole life when he had to walk to the top of the Staples Center ramp with Ian Clark to go stay at the La Quinta in outside the airport when they sent him to the then G League, right? Like, that guy, that drive, that's still, you know, that kid who, wears 27 because he wants everyone to remember where he was picked. That's, you know, I'd be curious. I don't think you add that, right? You either have that or you don't.
Yep.
And he's had that from the very beginning. The thing that I don't think people know about Rudy. Actually, I'd say there's two things I don't think people know about Rudy. One off the court, one on the court. He's probably the biggest basketball watcher on the team. He knows the league. Like, if I had to pick a sports talk show host, I'm taking Rudy. Like, he knows the league. He knows the players. He has opinions on them. He knows, like, we went to dinner once in New Orleans, and he was running through all the players. It was incredible. I was like, whoa. He was telling me things. Obviously, he knows inside stuff I don't know. But he was telling me, you know, they just changed rotation on this team, and he's now playing. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't know that. The other one, actually, that's interesting I'll just share about Rudy. One of the better adults with little kids. So that aggressiveness, that same, like, fire in underneath is a tremendous heart of a guy. And I always think that's a very telling thing. Like, how do they deal with kids? And it tells you a little bit of, like, what their core heart is. Rudy's a really special, special one when you see him with the kids. And you saw that, frankly, you saw that this week with his incredible donation, to the food bank, which, you know, that's, you know, kids are starting life without food and or hungry. That, you know, the data on that is really overwhelming on how little their life chances are from that point on. So what an incredible act by Rudy. I guess I would say now people have thought about it. They probably did know that. But when I see Rudy with some of our coaches' kids and things of that nature, it's really special.
Yeah, and when he said that this week, when he said, hey, and that kid who couldn't find necessarily his next meal, always that easy to get, that was me when I was a kid. That was pretty interesting to hear him say that. Right. I mean, it opened a lot of people's eyes. David Locke, he's got the call tonight, the Utah Jazz. You can hear him against the Oklahoma City Thunder on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, and also on KSL News Radio. Locke, thanks for being with us. We're really looking forward to get to know you better, and thanks for being on our very first maiden voyage here on The Zone today.
Well, best of luck to you guys. I think in my early days of my career, the biggest story I ever broke was Scott Mitchell signing with the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a big story.
And the amount of money was insane.
It was.
The amount of money was insane.
Yeah. It was a big day for me, too, David. So.
Yeah, and a lot bigger day for you than it was for me, but I still remember. What year was that, Scott? 94, 95?
It was 1995, and yeah, and I'm a huge Jazz fan. Loved what you talked about today. Serious, great stuff.
Amazing stuff.
Always love listening to your call. So I'm just so excited that we get to talk to you and have this chance.
Good luck, Locke. We appreciate the call. We'll talk to you again, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you. All right, we'll be back. Hey, that phone interview brought to you by the folks at SmartRain.net. Utah's going to be in a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that. 2022 budget planning for the most businesses is coming out soon. So take advantage of that and save right now on their Save Now, Pay Later promotion, and do your part by saving water while saving money. Check the Best of State Award winner, Smart Rain, at SmartRain.net.
All righty, sports fans. It is Unrivaled on 97.5, 1280, the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Scott Mitchell here. And, of course, we have Alex Keery in the building. And Alex and I are on, well, we're on a new program, right? And so that program requires us to drink a lot of water, a lot of protein, and it's a little bit keto-based. And, you know, Alex is... Well, Mother Nature calls from time to time, and that requires a potty break. So, welcome back to the program, there,
what was
Alex.
What was the part where you guys said, "Oh, we got you. We'll throw in an extra promo. No problem. Come on."
No,
how dare you?
This all works. Life happens when you're on a sports talk show. So
we have no idea what the look. My clock is all thrown off. I have no idea what's going on. I'm asleep.
Well, your biological clock is now thrown off, and it's just like
I'm usually asleep still by this point. So
we're at Hidden Valley Eye Care here in Draper. It's on 123rd South and about 11th East, just east of the Treehouse. If you're in that area, amazing things going on here. Lots of folks coming in, got Jazz stuff. We're giving away Jazz tickets. Very cool eyeglasses in here. I'm blind, Alex, and
yes.
I've now hopefully will be able to see once I leave here. And anyways, we got Sam Farnsworth from KSL TV who's joining us now. Sam, welcome on into the program.
Hey, you got a minute real quick? I got to take a bathroom break.
Oh, boy. See, now this is what we're going to have to do. I can't stand this. I was set up. I was like this. Okay, perfect. You got a couple minutes. Great.
Well, Sam, it's just number one, Alex. I mean, how long does that take you?
Why do we have to do this? I mean, look.
What do you mean, why do we have to do this?
Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do this to me? Every dang day. My heaven. It's the first day of the radio show. This is like, it's like I showed up very first time. I don't know. I mean, we've been doing the show a long time together. Sam Farnsworth, also from KSL5 Television, has been one of our guests for a long, long time as we've been doing Unrivaled. So we're glad to have him on the program here with us. We're doing a Jazz ticket giveaway. Scott's not eligible. Sam's not eligible. But I will give that phone number right now. 12th caller to 855-340-ZONE. 855-340-ZONE. And you can be that 12th caller, win tickets to the Utah Jazz. We're going to give away a pair now. And then we'll give away another pair at about 5:30. By the way, Jazz gear that we're giving away here at the Hidden Valley Eye Care. Sam, a lot of things on the plate here. I want to go – we've been doing so much dang Jazz here. I want to go the direction a little bit of I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit. I'm going to make you kind of dance here. I want to know
–
of all the things that are that have happened with this with this Wazoo deal and their coaches going away, is that going to end up being something that BYU is going to be like, oh, we got these guys? This is an easy one. And then they're going to end up getting bit in the tail because they don't these players are going to be all fired up to play for their coach who's no longer with them?
You know, it could be one of those types of situations. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I listened to what Coach Sitake had to say earlier, and obviously as a head coach, he's doing what he has to do to make sure his players are prepared and not overlooking anything. You know, he was saying that this is one of those this is a type of team that if you beat them, it's because you were well prepared, not just because they're a team in shambles or a team that's not performing very well on the football field. It's because you were better prepared than them. And so clearly he's trying to emphasize that to his team, that they still have to be very prepared. No matter what's going on up there in Pullman, no matter what's happening within their program, they still have to be prepared to win. And you know what? I don't think BYU, I don't think the players or coaches have any room to overlook any team after having lost two straight games either. So they're definitely not in a situation where they can feel too comfortable.
I mean, this is an unprecedented situation where a coach, leaves on principle, I guess. But I just don't know what the principle is. And I guess if I did know what the principle, like, why did he stand on this sword and why did he die on this sword and why did he potentially, give up his entire career?
Well, he could have at least said, hey, oh, this is a perfect time for me to be able to kind of get my message across.
Exactly. I mean, you look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick who, you know, he said, I believe in this. And in a lot of ways, I mean, it kind of ended his career, but it didn't. I mean, he's been revered by a lot of people for making a stand. I think people appreciate making a stand. They just want to know what the stand is.
Yeah, and I, like you said, Alex, he's got a platform, right? And if he's that passionate about what he believes in, whether it's a vaccination, whether it's, you know, name what your belief is, someone out there, when you're passionate about it and you've got an opportunity to speak about it, I think most people take that opportunity. And he has a big platform, very visible in the public eye, across all of college sports, clearly. He's been making headlines with his stance ever since Pac-12 media days when he didn't come because he chose not to be vaccinated. And so, he is, for that term, they're going to live or die on that hill. Well, that's what Nick Rolovich is doing. And, you know, he sacrificed his job for it. Will he return to college coaching? I would think probably. If he's a talented enough head coach, that an opportunity will come someday. But right now he's using his platform as an opportunity to express his opinions and views that there should not be a mandate for him to have to get vaccinated, and it's costing him his job right now. And will it hurt the program? It could. So there could be some residual effects there, that hurt student athletes or future recruits or whatever down the road. We'll see what happens.
I mean, if he comes back and coaches, why would you hire him? Why would you sit there and go, yeah, when are you going to – I mean, he just got hired at Washington State.
Right.
He just got started.
Right.
And then you're a kid and you go, okay, are you going to be around? I mean, these players, they want some stability. They want an influence in their life to be someone – you know, we all talk about, man, I had this coach, and he made the biggest impact on me, on my life.
Well, these kids – there's a ton of kids who are like, he's the best. Don't say anything bad about him. He's awesome. He took a chance on me. And so that part's weird to me when then he then gets he walks away from it all, and then today we find out he's suing the school. So just so many things to try to figure out. All right, so many things to get through, Sam Farnsworth, and tonight the Jazz opener, giant party on the plaza as well. KSLSports.com is running a big party out there on the plaza. We're gonna have food, events, a lot of fun stuff to work through. But on the Jazz side of things, what excites you the most about this season?
Well, I mean, for me, the first thing that I think about every time I think about the start of the season is that you've got three All-Stars back in their starting lineup. You've got the entire starting five back. You've got the sixth man of the year back, the sixth man of the year runner-up back. You've got a head coach who's got a brilliant offensive and defensive mind coming back. And you just look back to last year and see what they did during the regular season. So there's no reason to think that they cannot win a whole lot of basketball games this year. And the question is, what can they do once they get to the playoffs, right? So what changes have been made that or will be made for them to be able to succeed and move beyond just a second-round appearance? You know, Rudy Gobert even said that yesterday. It's about learning from those experiences and not, bowing out of the playoffs early again. So that's the biggest question, but that we're not going to get answers to that till later in the year. Right now, we're just going to learn about, you know, how well this rotation works together again. But that shouldn't take long because it's basically the same thing as last year, other than the few new guys that you've got in the program. So if you're a Jazz fan, there's definitely a lot to be excited about with the start of the new season. It's almost like I remember as a kid when your favorite team would lose in the playoffs, you couldn't wait to just get right back to the playoffs again next year so they could have another crack at it. So that's the hard part about being a Jazz fan. You know this is a playoff team. It's just a matter of, okay, let's get to the get to that point in the playoffs, yeah, which is still several months away.
Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. Tonight you'll see him on the television with a tie on. And that's what they do. And makeup. That's the kind of thing that Sam
Sam's
does.
Sam's not makeup. He's all natural.
Oh, okay. All right. I like it.
That's his natural beauty.
Sam, what's up tonight on KSL 5 Television? People can tune in to see.
Yeah, we'll be all over this Jazz game, as will you guys on the radio, our digital team as well. So we'll have lots of Jazz coverage coming your way. We'll be live at 5, live at 6 over there, and then post-game coming your way at 10. And to answer your question, Scotty, it's Studio Fix from Mac. Yes, I wear it every day.
See, I knew it. Yeah. Oh. See, like, I knew it. He's a classy makeup guy. It's fine. All right, Sam.
Where do I get the makeup?
Hey, I'll walk you over to City Creek. We can get you all set up. I know your color palette. All right, we'll come back. We've got much more to go. Thanks, Sam. We appreciate it. When we come back, we have so many more things to talk about. Our signature NFL roundup is coming up in just a little while because we have an NFL quarterback in the building now, and we have to break down all these stories. Our NFL roundup is right around the corner. We are at Hidden Valley Eye Care, 1147 East Draper Parkway, just all the way up 123rd South and 11th East, just right above the Treehouse Gym. You can find us. We're giving away Jazz gear. We've already given away 2 pair of Jazz tickets this afternoon over the phones. We're going to do it again next hour. We have so much here for you. Stay tuned. The NFL roundup is next on Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Welcome on in. It's the first edition of KSL's former KSL's Unrivaled, now Unrivaled on The Zone. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. The partnership with KSL Sports is an awesome, so glad, because tonight KSL News Radio is going to be broadcasting the Jazz home opener, the Jazz season opener across the street of Vivid Smart Home Arena, and you're going to always hear it as you usually do. You can hear it right here on The Zone, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Jazz radio network as well. So we've got so many things to jump into. So the NFL network is one of those big things, Scott, that we love to do, because as a former NFL guy, you kind of guide us through a lot of these stories and give us that insight into some of these places. That being said, though, as we've got this music going behind us, I did want to read a couple of hate tweets that we got over the last day. I know it's wild that we to think that everybody would just be totally happy about changes that happen in radio. I've done this a few times where I've come in to a new time slot and somebody goes, hate this new guy, hate this new guy, sounds like an idiot. And you know what? They're not wrong. I might sound like an idiot, but guess what? I'm okay.
You're a lovable idiot.
I'm okay with that moniker. So you want me to start with you, or do you want me to start with me on some of these hate tweets?
I don't care. I just want to hear them.
I know they keep saying Scott Mitchell played in the NFL, but my recollection was he never made anyone's roster, just a practice squad or two. Sorry, but that's not playing in the NFL, Scott. That was I love this.
Is that a real one?
Yes, this is an FA. Oh. This is basically a time for you to be able to. This is a time for somebody to be able to.
So
you can
I've
educate
heard,
somebody.
I've heard some people say this before, and clearly they have no idea.
Yeah,
what's
you didn't
going
play
on.
Right.
All I'll tell you is I will take my 12 years in the NFL.
Yes.
It was an amazing experience.
Did you get to 100 touchdown career throws, yeah, or was it to like 99 or is it like 101?
99 times.
How many picks, though?
I don't know.
Less than that?
Yes,
less than 100?
Less than 100. Okay. And if we could have the tip, like the tip picks, not,
yes,
you know,
yeah,
count.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man, that'd be
if you get Mahomes' mom involved, yeah, in the, if you get yes, Mrs. Mitchell involved, yes, in the whole thing, get Sister
actually
Mitchell on
I would
the phone
love
call,
I
man.
Would love my mom to get involved. That would be entertaining.
We should have a segment, yeah, where your mom calls in.
No,
my
we
heavens.
Shouldn't.
No. We'd have to use the dump button way too often. Yeah. Here's another hate tweet. Alex was in a few of my classes at BYU. Never talked to the guy, but he seemed like a jerk from afar. What is that?
You should see him up close.
I just love the idea
but
of –
But the good thing, Alex, is
he's in one of my classes. Look at that jerk over there.
But
jeez.
But you went to class. That's a good thing, you know.
Scott Mitchell on the show. There's only one problem.
Can't get over himself. And he's a closet BYU fan. Yes, he finally came out. I love it. All day we get to hear the leading pass touchdown throws and yardage leader in the history of Utah football is a closet BYU fan.
So I'm not a fan of – all I do is I just sit and I go. I just call things as I see them.
Yes.
Is what I do. Uh-huh. I'm not like for or against. I'm not a person like that's this hater or whatever. And I don't know what getting over yourself means. I mean, it's like
well, like you're not doing it right now, okay, for example.
You want me to be honest? Everybody in this room right now has an ego. Every single one of us. And the sooner you recognize that you do and just own it, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a unique experience in my life.
I just let you keep going. You're just like, listen, I was in the NFL, man. You know me. I'm Scott Mitchell.
It's like Jack Nicholson in
I
A
love
Few
it.
Good Men. I did it, and I'd do it again.
Yeah. Alex Keery did a good job on KSL, but this is big-time radio, kid. You'll get buried. I didn't know KSL News Radio was a small-time radio.
Let me tell you, we have a whole lot of folks listening to us at KSL.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. Alex ripped on BYU too much when he was the pre- and post-game host on KSL. I wonder if he even graduated for BYU or is just lying.
Do you think that's a BYU fan
just
that said that?
Probably. I think people, they get jaded if they hear one negative thing about their team. Except for they say negative things about their team. Listen, the last 2 weeks on Twitter has been a graveyard of people telling BYU how much they stink from BYU fans.
I mean, think about the beginning of the season and how everyone was just so down on Utah and BYU was the darling child and how it's like flipped.
Yeah.
I mean, in a short period of time and within two months of the season.
That's
and
good.
That's how fickle things are. That's how tenuous sports is. And that's, you know, our audience is they're going to turn on us every 10 minutes.
Scott Mitchell was a Utah QB when no one even threw the football in college. Oh, man. This is great stuff.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't know. It may sound like you're wearing a leather helmet. That's what I love about that text.
I will just tell you right now, I cannot stand – when I first moved back to Utah, watching Utah's offense and watching BYU's offense, hated it.
Right. It was too much –
It was boring.
It was boring. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, Scott, before we get out to here, I wanted to make sure.
Are those real or did you just?
No, these are real ones. Right. I wanted to a couple NFL stories before we get to Dr. Mackey here at Hidden Valley Eye Care. First one up here, Scott, I wanted to know about. So the NFL has launched a – this is my favorite. The NFL has launched a responsible I can't even say what that's saying. Responsible betting awareness campaign. What they do – I mean, this is a place that has laid the groundwork – for the most extensive betting of sports to ever happen. And now here we are. And the NFL, they care. The NFL cares, Scott. They want to make sure that you're not being irresponsible with the betting.
This is like going into a dentist office when they say, you know how you leave the dentist office and they have like cookies? Like, and they give you cookies and candy when you leave because they want you to have cavities, right?
Right.
So you'll come back.
Yeah.
So they're perpetuating the problem. And this is what this feels like with the NFL. I mean, the NFL has reached agreements with all of these online betting. I mean, because basically everywhere in America except for Hawaii and Utah, you can bet online on an NFL game. And the NFL says, hold on a minute. We want to be a part of that.
They want a piece of that
pie.
But
we want you to do it responsibly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, it's like you're going to do it, but do it responsibly. It makes no sense to me. I mean, it's like give people the cookies while they go out the door so they'll have more cavities.
They hold on. I need you to make sure that you're doing this right, okay? I want you to make these bets responsible.
Yeah.
Enter your credit card right here, and then we'll talk about how to do this thing.
We'll
all
make
right,
it
so,
easy and painless for you.
Let me see here. We've got time probably for one more short one here, Scott, right. And that is Zach Wilson. Can Zach Wilson beat the Patriots and jumpstart the Jets season? They've already got that one win.
Jumpstart.
Come on.
For what? Is it jumpstart? The best thing that the New York Jets can do is jumpstart their season by losing the rest of the year.
Oh, so okay, interesting.
So just lose.
All right.
Because they need players. They need bodies. And the best way to get bodies is through the draft.
All right.
I mean, if you want to jumpstart your season.
I've got more NFL stories we're going to bring up. I feel like we're going to have to repeat some NFL roundup stories as well here. But
We're here at Hidden Valley Eye Care, and we're chatting with Dr. Mackey. All day today, we've been kind of meeting some people, high-fiving folks who are coming in and grabbing some jazz gear. Dr. Mackey, what is it that you tell people that it is that you guys do best here? If somebody says, I want to come into Hidden Valley Eye Care, what is it that you can say, this is how we're going to take care of you?
I think we just work hard to make a unique experience for everybody. We talk about it, you know, every day amongst the staff, that everybody that walks through our door is a VIP. And we try and treat everybody that way from the moment they call us on the phone to, you know, the moment that they pick up their glasses or their contacts. Just making sure that they feel that they are important and well taken care of. You know, I work hard to make sure that I come up with all the best ways to explain things to my patients so that they're well educated on what it is that's going, they're going through or what's happening to them. And, you know, just giving them that confidence that they're being well taken care of.
So you have this neuro lens,
yeah.
And it's something you actually struggled with as well and realized that it was a problem and there was a way to correct it.
Yeah. I like I said earlier, I've had headaches my entire life. When I was a kid, my parents were all worried, and we did all the tests out there and, you know, medication. As an adult, I went from, you know, taking ibuprofen 800 to 1600 milligrams a day to nothing. I've got loads and loads of bottles of Advil that are unopened in my house now, because I just, you know, and that was that much of a change just after 1 week of wearing the glasses.
Wow. If you want to find out more about Hidden Valley Eye Care, I'll tell you where the location is. Beautiful store as well. If you come in, the exam rooms are here. This is a beautifully, I mean, it's just beautifully done here. Come up and check them out. 1147 East Draper Parkway. That's just 123rd South, all the way up here, just above the Treehouse Gym. You can find it. Easy enough to find. 801-619-9555. Dr. Mackey, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a break here. It is Unrivaled, our very first go here on The Zone. 97.5, 1280, The Zone Sports Network. We'll take a quick break. We've got much more to go. Stay with us.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled right here on The Zone Sports Network, 97.5 1280 The Zone. Alex Keery here. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback to my right, former University of Utah great, current just regular great. Good job, buddy. You're a great guy.
You know, I wake up every day. It's a good thing.
Except for the part where you let me go to the bathroom and they didn't tell anybody I was coming back. Come on.
I thought you'd be faster than that, Alex.
You got to help a brother out.
Slowing down a little bit here.
We've got a lot to get through here. Our final hour of the program. We'll get into a little bit more of who we are as the days go on. And we'll just, like I said, we've been doing Unrivaled on KSL News Radio for about 4 years. I've been at KSL News Radio for 16. Scott and I have been doing this show, yeah, like I said, about 4 years together. So we are no strangers to each other or this market or all the sports that are involved in this market as well. So we are super excited to be a part of the Zone Sports Network. I interned at 1280 back in the day, back in the 2004, back when Jake Scott every day was a beanie guy. That's the old Spicoli days, as they used to call it. So I screened phone calls. Jake taught me a lot of stuff about radio, and then I've been working at KSL ever since. So here we are now, all those years later, and we find ourselves all in the same place, and we're really excited about this. And we know change isn't fun. It's not totally easy. The you know, the transition's always there.
You know what the only constant in life is, Alex?
That's change.
It's change.
Yeah, old Grandpa Mitchell over here with the cliches of the century. You know. Nice job. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to start off the show, as we always do, very first thing at the top of every hour. It's our cut. Let's do it.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
One of the things we're going to bring over from KSL News Radio is our weekly interview sessions. Really cool deal that we do, the Players Club. And the Players Club features Jaren Hall, BYU's quarterback, and then also another day, we featured Devin Kafusi, defensive lineman for the University of Utah. Last hour, we chatted a little bit with our BYU insider, Mitch Harper, on KSLSports.com about some of the things that Jared had talked about. I want to break down what the Utes are going through right now. As always, the cut is brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a free offer. Scott, let's get into a couple things that we talked about with Devin Kaufusi. First of all, everything felt different in the stadium up at Rice-Eccles this weekend. You had the 22 seconds of silence at the beginning of the game. You had the feature that was played between the third and fourth quarter to honor Aaron Lowe and Ty Jordan. And it just seemed like all this momentum was moving towards the Utes already. And as the third quarter was over and it goes into the fourth quarter, it was over when they showed those videos. And to me, that felt like such a huge moment for the team.
Yeah, and what feels so great about it is this is from a place of authenticity. You know, it's not fabricated. It's not there's this genuine common bond that has happened between the players, the coaches, the community, and really people across the nation. Some of the tributes that have happened. This is a tough thing for anyone to have to go through, and it's really galvanized this football team at Utah. It's really it's remarkable. I mean, I witness it every week when I call the games with Bill Riley, and it's a touching tribute. And I think it helps people put into perspective what's really important. And sometimes in our life, we get so wrapped up in what we're doing that we can't see the bigger picture in life, and it kind of bogs us down. And that was a little bit of what was maybe happening with this football team is early on in the season. One of the best things that I've heard all year, and we were talking to Devin Kaufusi, and he was saying, Coach Whittingham said, I need your personalities to show up.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, that is such a great statement and a savvy statement by a veteran coach, because Coach Whittingham can want it all he wants, but until the players buy into it, and they own it themselves, and that's really what he's saying. You know, your personality, who you are, you have to own this. And it was really the difference between Cam Rising and Charlie Brewer. And Cam Rising has just shown everyone who he is. And he's this, you know, infectious guy that loves playing football and has an amazing attitude and has been through a lot. I mean, he's had these battles to play quarterback at Utah and won one and then got injured and lost the other one and still had an amazing attitude about things and then just came in and really changed this team. But when players own it and when their personalities show up, really, really, really good things happen. And really what it's called is called leadership. And that's what you're seeing.
Here's what Devin Kaufusi said on the Players Club this week about that moment of silence for Aaron Lowe and for Ty Jordan and what it meant to the team.
What we feel, and especially me, when you know we're able to have that awesome moment between the after the third quarter, right before the fourth, is you know they play the tribute, and at that point you're thinking life's bigger than football. It's really about the brotherhood we have here. So I think the whole team just understands, hey, it's us, and we got to lean on each other, and not just lean on each other. We all just kind of support each other, embrace each other, and it's you know we're able to show that in the fourth quarter as well, and I mean, it's just so special. Having the fans there, I mean, all of us having those emotions again, but really just the emotion of, you know, this is a family, this is a brotherhood, there's life, you know, a lot bigger than football, but it's a big part.
It's an interesting thing to hear him say that, and, you know, you could tell it was something that was way deeper. It affected the team. I mean, to be at the memorial earlier in the week and then have this game, to see what the team's gone through, it's pretty hard to not put the Utes at the top of the list for favorites, I feel like, in the Pac-12 now. Not just because of the record, but because of what's kind of galvanized this team, the stuff that has galvanized this team. I think that a comeback in the fashion that they had makes it to where they can kind of face anything right now, and there's any version of them being able to be the Pac-12 champions. I think that they initially, when they said, well, look, the Pac-12 is up for grabs now, we laughed about it, I think, when they hadn't started conference play yet because they'd already lost two games. And then now I think it's totally changed for the Utes. So this is a big one. Here's what was an interesting thing that Devin Kaufusi had to say, Scott, about rivals. And I think that
BYU fans would roll their eyes when they would typically hear this kind of stuff, and now they're starting to come around because they're getting into a P5 conference. Here's what he had to say about Arizona State and where they stand as a rival.
I'm not sure. I can only think of, you know, by the time Utah's played them in the past, there's always been something, you know, you know, to be won or to be lost, and it just so happens to, you know, swing that way for a team that wins. You know, they end up winning more off that win than team that loses a lot, and so I think that just adds a lot to the rival.
He brought it up. He said, "Look, they told me when I came in, when they recruited me to get to Utah, they said, no, our rival's Arizona State. That is a tough game for us year in and year out. Obviously, you've got to beat USC, and it changes. But I mean, I think BYU fans saw this weekend where they're like, oh, this is a future rival, Baylor in the Big 12. That's exactly, I think, how it is. It's like, if there's a tough team that you're facing, I mean, they could, yeah, why not be your rival? If it's a game that goes back and forth every year, which it's been with the Arizona State and Utah, it's been a fun one to watch when the games are good. I mean, obviously, they kind of faked their way through that Colorado rivalry. It's not really a rivalry. So I liked hearing him say that Arizona State is like, that's their rival in
the
Pac-12.
And they recognize it. But anytime you have a team that you play that it has something's on the line, you know, whatever it is, that matters. And I know people minimize the BYU and Utah rivalry. And there is something on the line in the sense that it's bragging rights. It's like it's we own you rights type of thing. And that may not seem like a lot, but it is to a lot of people. And so I love rivalries. It's such a great part of college football. It's such a great part of sports in general. And I'm okay if it even gets a little salty at times. And this rivalry between ASU and Utah has gotten a little chippy, and I'm okay with that. And that's okay. All that means is that you have folks that are – very passionate about what's going on. They care, and it matters to them. I have to do something just super tiny quick. I mean, this is all new to us, right? I just have to give a shout out to Steve Borland, who is – I know he's listening. He of course, worked for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And he was at Utah Sports Properties with all the broadcasting of Utah football
sure.
games. And so he was just, he says, hey, I'm listening to you guys and congratulations. So I just wanted to say, how you doing, Steve?
Well, there you go. A little personal shout out between friends on the radio. Any other friends you want to shout out to, Scott? It's fine.
You know,
I've
got a lot of family.
The week is young.
That
yeah,
listens
yeah.
to the show.
There's really a lot of
Mitchell. That's how we get ratings is my family just tunes
get
in.
A lot of Mitchells calling in going, just love Scott. Love what he means for the state. He's amazing. Let's get to what Coach Whittingham has said about what his team has gone through. This is what he said at his weekly press conference about making adjustments. I just think that being able to say that you've made that comeback like they did, then there's nothing the rest of the season that somebody can say. They made some massive adjustments, and they all worked. Here's what he said.
Yeah, halftime adjustments are big and play into that, and I think is a credit to our assistant coaches and the coordinators to come in at halftime and make those adjustments. Now, you got to make them all throughout the game. It's not just halftime, because if you wait till halftime, it's too late a lot of the times. And so, just coming in from the first half, sitting down together, talk about what's happening, what we want to change, and what we want to tweak going forward. And again, our coaches have done a really good job of setting up our players to be successful in the second half.
He must be tickled because like his team has been disciplined these last few weeks, and that's something that he's hated is that they've had bad penalties, bad turnovers. They don't know they don't know who's carrying the ball for him at any given time. I mean, just at the halftime after that second half for him to tweet out 28 unanswered was one, uncharacteristic, and two, I think that they've come a long way, and he must be glad with that process.
And what you have is when we talked about, you know, the fact that our show changed, that we've moved to a different place, and that happens in a football game, and it happens in life. You've got to make adjustments. You have to change some things. You have to change momentum, and it's a part of every football game. It's a part of every football season. It's a part of life, and the people who can make the adjustments and see and kind of get a feel and an understanding for what's going on. What is this team doing? What do we need to change? What do we need to look at here that can bring that momentum back to our side? Early on in the season, Utah was a terrible team coming out at halftime. I mean, they the loss to BYU, They came out flat. The game changed, and it swung BYU's direction right at the beginning of the second half. Same thing against San Diego State. And then Utah goes, you know, they've just been lights out in that third quarter. Very, very impressive, that first drive coming out against Arizona State, and it just swung the momentum. And so whatever's being said, and it's those things, you know, it's like your personalities need to show up. You just need to focus on, you know, not trying too hard and doing your job. And maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a little adjustment. Utah went back to more of a run game on offense, and it kind of settled Cam Rising down a little bit. And then he got in a flow much easier. And so all those little subtle things that happen change games and change momentum and are the things that make the difference in a season.
Devin Cafusi on the Players Club with us also pointed out this Oregon State team obviously run first as a team. That's a run first team. He said they are the best offensive line in the Pac-12. And I thought, well, that's interesting to say. I mean, they focus so much on that O-line play. But, I mean, Oregon State being the best at anything in the Pac-12 is not something we've heard in a long time. So what is it now? Now you have a team that is on the rise, that is getting better, isn't the doormat of the Pac-12 that they've been in the past. Then that you have to treat them differently now.
Well, if you look at some of these teams that don't have the luxury of recruiting these 4- and 5-star guys. So if you're not an Oregon, you're not a USC, you're really not a Washington, because Washington has had that capability. You've got to figure out a different blueprint. And Kyle Whittingham dialed into one that said, we can match up with people up front. Right? We might not get all the skill guys and all the elite athletes that these other schools have, but we can compete with you up front. And as a quarterback, I hate to admit and I hate to even say this, but, man, running the football and controlling the line of scrimmage really fixes a lot of ills that that teams have. And so you're a team like Oregon State trying to get back into things. If you can get physical up front, if you can slow football games down where you're not giving the other team as many possessions, and you do that by ball control, by running the football, Stanford – Utah figured that out and started having a lot of success in the Pac-12, and they could start to compete against some of these more elite athlete teams by slowing things down. And that's really what Oregon State has done. Literally every game you go into in the Pac-12, you either have to stop the run or you have to establish the run if you're going to win a football game.
Can I mark you down for being on the record as the run game being the most important part of the game?
See, that's what I hate.
Scott Mitchell's run game guy. Hold on. I'm just writing it down here.
I hate to admit this, but it's true. Yeah. I mean, it really
is. One of those things you're like, as you get older, you find out how important the run game is.
More or less. It's like because it just when you are balanced and you got all, you know, and you have the ability to do that, you're one-dimensional. People can lock into what's going on.
What was the most what was the most pass attempts you had at Utah? You guys threw the heck out of the football.
I think 65 in a game.
I mean, is there going to be a Utah quarterback that throws 65?
There have been a lot of games where Utah hasn't had 65 plays.
Right, yeah. I mean, now it's just totally different. Yeah. So,
well, it caused one of my arms to be longer than the other one. You know, you throw so long, it's just like, whew.
So you got to go to the run game. So your quarterback didn't get long arm syndrome. LAS.
Yeah, it's a
long
thing.
Arm syndrome.
That's
a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Scott, as you look at this Oregon State team and you know what they've been talking about, you do a feature every week where you talk about the keys to this game. And I'm gonna cheat off of you a little bit here. I'm gonna kind of make you sort of show your cards already. Have you already figured out your keys this week? Mm-hmm. Why not? So what are the keys for Utah to win this football game against Oregon State then?
Well, the first key, I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to say it every week, but it's really who controls the line of scrimmage, and you got to make Oregon State one dimensional, right? And so you say, well, what is one-dimensional? The one dimension is stopping the run, but that's on defense. So you got to stop. You got to stop the run on defense if you're Utah. But how you stop the run as well is that offensively you go and score points, because all of a sudden if you start getting out to a 2 and a 3 touchdown lead in a game, then it makes that other team. They want to run the football, but they run out of time. They can't do it. So now they're doing something that's kind of they don't really want to do and plays into something that's one of your strengths. So stopping the run, is a key, but it's not just on defense. It's also with your offense.
Do you think Jim Harding, I mean, the offensive line coach for Utah, do you think that he has like kind of come along? Because at the beginning of the year, it was, oof, like this is not looking good. Have these young men kind of been coached up enough? What have they figured out? Because it seems like the O-line at least has been battling these last few weeks and they've had much more success.
Well, a lot of it is just that there's probably 8 to 10 guys on that offensive line unit for Utah that they like, but they've really had injuries, and so they've had so many different lineup changes. And it's one of the reasons that they're having more consistent success is they've settled on guys. They've got guys healthy that they want in there, and those guys have had an opportunity to play together. It's one of the hardest things to deal with in college football when we have these offensive lines that you can't simulate the speed of a game until you get in the game, and you can't do it in practice. And so these guys have to trust the guy next to them, and they have to see what's happening, and they have to see it in like an instant. And that just takes game experience and game reps to really get that down. And so if you're playing with a guy who's going to be there this week, but next week he's not going to be there, it just gets hard to build that continuity and that trust and that consistency. And so that's one of the things that Utah's been able to establish is getting a consistent offensive line in there. And it's made all of the difference.
I'm looking forward to see what Oregon State has to throw at Utah. This is not going to be a throwaway game. This is not one of those games that in the past you've looked at and gone, okay, that's the Oregon State. I'm used to going to the potato salad stadium and getting an easy W, but that's not the case this year.
Yeah, I mean, Utah has six Pac-12 games left, and really four or five of them are you've got to show up, or you're, I mean, really Arizona's the one team, and the rest, if you don't come to play, you're gonna
Colorado, they kind of stink.
Yeah, but Colorado's kind of been a little bit of a bugaboo for Utah.
They sort of ran it up on the Wildcats this last week. Yeah. I mean, dang.
Well, it's Utah's rival in the Pac-12, so you've got to be ready for that.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to have a ton more to go here. When I say a ton more, there's a couple segments left, and we've got we've got a couple signature things we want to introduce you to as well coming up in a little while. We've got our What Are the Odds segment you don't want to miss. That's going to be coming up, plus our Jazz ticket giveaway that we're going to be doing as well. First, I want to tell you where we are, Hidden Valley Eye Care. And Dr. Mackey's been hanging out with us all day. A beautiful store here in Draper. Easy to find, 123rd South. You just come all the way up the hill here to about 11th East, just short of 11th East. You're really at, or just past 11th East. You're just above the Treehouse Gym, if I'm kind of describing how to get to it right. We've got Jazz gear to give away, but you guys have been helping people out. They come in, beautiful stations where they can try on some frames, Dr. Mackey, or get those exams in the back. This is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Thank you. We love it here.
And you guys help people out in all the things. So they do exam all the way through those prescription glasses, everything, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to know about your sports performance training,
sure.
Right? And this is the thing. I did this when I played.
Don't point
NFL.
At me. That doesn't apply to me. Come on, man. Yeah,
talk to us about some of the things you do as far as helping. Because from what I understand, your eyeball is like a muscle, and it's something that you can actually train and improve your reaction and your performance.
Yeah, everything that we do in sports starts with our vision, right? We have to see something before we can react. We have to, you know. And so the whole idea of sports vision comes from the fact that athletes see things differently than average people. They're able to react faster because they see things, right? The way I like to describe it is the like you said, it's like a muscle. The more you train it, the easier it becomes. We can react faster because we've trained at a higher level. We work very frequent with something called strobe glasses. So they're glasses that we put on that flicker on and off, and it obscures your vision where you can't see anything part of the time. And so, you know, you go through and you're catching a ball with those on. You take them off, and now it's going to feel like things are kind of going in slow motion because you're working on a sensory overload from there. With those strobe glasses on, you're limiting the amount of visual input that can come in. And you're adapting to it to where when you go back, now it feels like you're just, you know, a freak of nature.
So should we put those on when we're driving down the road?
Yeah. I'm going to make a T-shirt. Your eyeball's a muscle. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's been really fun hanging out with you guys today. Hidden Valley Eye Care is where you find it here in Draper, 1147 Draper Parkway, just above the Treehouse Gym on 123rd South. Dr. Mackey, thanks for hanging out with us again.
Pleasure.
We've got What Are the Odds coming up here.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL. KSL.
Let me hear it.
Sports.com.
There you go. I'm Jeremy. Our producer just goes, nice.
Nice job. Dude. Hey, say one of us went to the bathroom and made it back on time.
No, I don't want to.
Not saying which one.
No.
Not saying which one.
Gosh. We got real problems here on this program already. So day one.
Do you know what I've liked about today?
I'm
getting to – there's a lot of things I've really liked about today.
This felt like a first day of kindergarten for me. I'm like nervous.
It's a different thing for sure. I really enjoyed talking to David Locke about the Utah Jazz.
You got done with talking with Locke, and it was like, dude, the insights, man. And
I love that. Yeah.
When you hear him go 1,000 miles an hour during those broadcasts, and you go, the guy sees everything, right? And he's a metrics guy.
Right.
So when you start to break out all those metrics, you got so many things going on.
Yeah.
My heavens. Jazz and Oklahoma City Thunder, we've got some tickets to give away here for you, our last pair of tickets on our first day of Unrivaled here on the Zone Sports Network, and we're super excited to be traveling along here with you guys. If you go back, listen, you can download any of these hours in our podcast. You can go to the KSL Sports app, download the podcast, look up Unrivaled wherever podcasts are found, and we'll get those up for you as well. We broke down a ton of Jazz in the first 2.5 hours, and of course we get killed in the last half hour for not talking about the Jazz. But here we are talking about the Jazz again. What are the odds? Goes like this, Scott. If you're not familiar with our regular show that we've been doing on KSL News Radio, What Are the Odds is very simple. It's basically a play-at-home game show. Okay. I give you a scenario.
It's interactive radio.
That's right. Or Scott gives you a scenario, and then you tell us from 0 to 100% that thing will or will not happen. So, and then I want you to also boot up for extra bonus points jersey numbers over the life or the world of sports in whatever category that has that number associated with it. We'll play, and we'll show you how to do it. The Jazz ticket giveaway, though, here's the number, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. The 12th caller is going to win those pair of tickets to the Jazz tonight. Man, that's going to be an awesome one. So the Oklahoma City Thunder coming into town. Scott, what are the odds that Rudy Gobert wins another Defensive Player of the Year award this year?
What are the odds?
Yeah. So he's got three now. The trophy case is full at this point.
Right. So
he's getting annoyed with it at this point, too. Right?
I still have to go with this. So I'm going to go with a Mark Eaton 53%.
Oh, you love
it. Mark Eaton was a former, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of was the forerunner of that defensive center and how valuable a guy like that could be. He was 7'6". My goodness, who wouldn't? I think it's a high probability, or at least it's more than a 50% chance. A lot of really good defenders,
That's what I'm saying.
You got Giannis is a great defender.
He's one.
Anthony Davis is another one, and so there's a lot of good. And of course, you've got Draymond Green
he's always in the discussion.
He always puts himself in the discussion.
The thing is it now.
But I think it's over 50%.
Well, and it used to be that the metrics didn't make as big of a difference, but we start talking about the advanced defensive metrics now, and people kind of go, it's hard to say that Rudy Gobert isn't the best defender. When you look at the numbers that he's not the best defender in the NBA, even when you throw out the only thing that these other guys have going for him, great defenders, bigger names usually, higher up on the All-Star list.
But I think Rudy Gobert took a step in elevating himself, whether it was this offseason, and we had a great discussion with David Locke about Rudy Gobert and where he is, and he's at another level. He just is in another confidence level, another physical level. I think that's the thing that really stood out to me is he's being a much more stout physically inside in his interior presence. So I don't know why Rudy Gobert wouldn't, but 53% is
all right. That was a long-winded answer, bro. We need to get to some quicker answers here, some quicker numbers. Come on. What are the odds that Donovan Mitchell – no, let me just do this one. What are the odds that there are three All-Stars again coming off of the Utah Jazz? And I'm giving you the full. I'm giving you the full team roster to look at here.
Three All-Stars.
Yeah, last year was Rudy and it was Donovan and it was Mike. So and Mike Conley was a late add, of course, as an alternate, but ends up getting in there. Three All-Stars on the Jazz roster again this season.
Well, the Jazz have numbers. They have names. They have they brought this core team back. That I think early on in the season that the Jazz will play well. You know, so you'll get a lot of attention, a lot of buzz from this team early on, and you know, I think it's you know, I don't know. I just for some reason I just think of Ray Nitschke, 66%.
Okay, all right, yeah. Ray Nitschke throwing out the old NFL Nitschke. Guy. See, I'm going to go lower.
Oh, you
because
are?
I just think it's so hard to get three in, and it's nothing against whether or not because I still think you can have. I that doesn't take away the fact that they could be, you know, they can make a deep run in the playoffs. I just think that. The politics that surround when they reveal those all-star teams, like Mike Conley getting in last year is a little bit of a fluke, not because he wasn't a great player. He deserved to be there. But there's that, like, you know, back and forth about who, you know, the alternates and the injuries and the things
and,
happen.
And there's some young up-and-coming players that are probably going to be all-stars.
It's just so dang hard. Yeah. It's so dang hard. And so to have three again, I'm going to make it a lower percentage. I'm going to go with a my goodness. Let me see here. I'm going to go with who is it? I'm going to go with a Scott Mitchell, 19%.
Wow.
There you go. No, I'm changing it. Johnny Unitas, 19%.
Yeah, I knew that was
there
coming.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, let me give you one. Let's see here. What are the odds that Jared Butler wins Rookie of the Year?
Oh, my goodness.
Nah, let's just throw that one out there.
I'm going to go with an Olden Polonese. Was he a double zero or was he zero?
You think there's no shot at that?
Yeah, it's not because it's nothing except for the team is not built to give this guy minutes. I mean, he's just not going to get the minutes. He's got the rotation. He's going to get – you heard Locke say it earlier. He's like, hey, man, here's what they're asking for Jared Butler. They're asking him to get – 3 to 4 minutes of quality. Yes, maybe even a half. I mean, maybe he gets 7 to 8 minutes in a game. That's not going to ever be the case. So what you're telling me is you're asking me to put the Jazz in a weird position of having enough injuries that Jared Butler has to play a ton and then garner the minutes and the numbers to be able to be Rookie of the Year, and I don't wish that on the Jazz.
But no – but does it have to be injuries that he actually plays in?
Oh, you think like he plays himself in because he's just amazing?
He's that good. He's that talented.
No,
I don't think anybody thought Donovan Mitchell his rookie year. And I
you going
know,
into
David Locke says, you know, that the odds of Donovan Mitchell
never
happening,
happens.
It just
right.
It just doesn't happen.
I'm going to go with it. Yeah, I'm still going with the 0%. And it's nothing against him. It's to say that the Jazz are built differently. He is this is a development year for him, man. This is going to be his development
year. All right. I'll say, because I'm more optimistic than you, I'm going to say a Brett Favre 4%.
Oh, look at that. So much more optimistic for me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's 4%.
Were you and Favre friends when you were in the NFC Central there?
We were like, no, I hated those guys. No, why would I like Brett Favre?
I didn't like
Brett Favre until his dad died.
I've gone
when
back.
When his dad died, yeah. He went and played on Monday Night Football. I said, okay, Brett Favre.
I like this guy.
He's all right.
But when he was playing, I mean, you guys did the end of the year like quarterback competition stuff where they had the quarterback club.
That's a fake nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a fake nice?
That's a fake nice.
Who's the
real?
Who's the real nice?
Actually, here's the reality. Is most quarterbacks actually liked each other.
Yeah.
Who
is the castaway then?
Who is the castaway?
Yeah, the one that people didn't like.
I'm not going to tell you.
Can I just say it for you?
No, don't say a word.
I'll say it for you. It's just somebody I didn't like.
Oh.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, he was just weird.
He showed up to those quarterback challenges, and I feel like he was trying a little too hard. You know what I mean?
Well, he was.
It was like he was trying to win a $100 gift card for his mom.
He got the golf carts and put them in his.
No,
like,
he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my gosh.
The driving range is where he lived.
This is why you can't hang.
He went out and practiced all this stuff.
This is why you can't hang with Jim Harbaugh. He's too much. Yeah. You could never relax around the guy.
No.
It's not fun.
What's hard is you don't – it's like you never felt like you got to know who he actually really was.
Okay. Scott, last one here on our what are the odds. our maiden voyage of What Are the Odds here on The Zone, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, unrivaled, our very first day, so our very last our last one here. What are the odds the Jazz win 60 games? It's only happened three times in team history, Scott. And last year they were very, very good. Not a 60-win team, but what are the odds that they win 60 games this year?
I don't think the Lakers are going to be what everyone thinks they're going to be. I think Dallas is going to be better. I think Denver is going to be better. I think Phoenix is going to be better. I think the Jazz are going to be a better team this year.
Well, if they're better, then they get more wins.
They won 55 games a year ago, playing 70.
I think it was 72.
Yeah, 72. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 10 more games, so they get 5 more wins. They have to win 50% of their games. I think their winning percentage was above 50. I think it's a reality.
Okay.
I'm going to say Mark Eaton, 53%.
I'm going to go. I know. I'm going to go less optimistic, and I'm going to go with Yeah, I know. What was Ronnie Price? Was he 17 or was he 1? I can't remember what he was. Well, I'm going to go with I'll back it up here. I'm going to go with a 47%. Andre Kirilenko. I mean, if we're going to go full Jazz names, you know, on the list,
I just didn't want
to go like full on, you know. I don't want to go too depressing there. So we'll take another break here. This is our last break of the day. We've got a bunch more stuff we can slide in here because it's our it is our 2-minute drill coming up around the corner as well. See a bunch of stuff that people have not even gotten to know that well. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Final break here on Unrivaled, the very first maiden voyage of the show here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody. Appreciate you being with us here on our very first show on The Zone today. We've had a lot of fun because we've been on KSL News Radio for the past 4 years doing Unrivaled there. And Scott and I have been together doing the show for that long period of time. And now here we are doing Unrivaled here on The Zone Sports Network, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. I'm Alex Keery. He is Scott Mitchell. And this is our final segment of the day. And what we do typically at the end of our program is we like to roll out our own 2-minute drill. Normally, there's some fancy NFL music we're trying to clear. We're going to get it done, and it'll be here tomorrow. I guarantee it, okay? So we're going to get that music in the future. But that music sort of instills a little bit of a
sense of urgency.
Sense of urgency. So, Scott, you've run a handful of – when I say handful, you've done a few dozen 2-minute drills in your career as an NFL quarterback. So Explain what the 2-minute drill is, and then we'll tell the and then we'll get right to it here.
All right. Well, late in the football game, you're going to the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. So we hurry up and talk a little bit about a lot of things. We go home happy with a trophy because everyone gets a trophy today. We get 2 COVID shots and a plethora of desserts.
A plethora of desserts?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't eat that. We're off the desserts
don't
currently.
No, we just talk about them. Yeah. And, they include things like, you know, a peanut butter bar.
Yeah.
And just by the way, the 2 COVID shots qualifies you for a free dunk.
That's
not a Dunkin' Donut, but a Krispy Kreme donut.
It does.
But you got to get the ones that are hot.
That's right. We've been at Hidden Valley Eye Care all day today here in Draper. Tomorrow, you can join KSLSports.com and Unrivaled here on the Zone Sports Network at OMA. This is a place we've been a million times before, you and I. It's the Warehouse from 3 to 6 there in Salt Lake City. Price is so low, it'll blow your mind. Boom! So we're going to be down there at the Warehouse in Salt Lake City. I think it's around 18th South and 3rd West. Johnny, does that sound right? Yeah, 1825 South and 3rd West. You can come join us there tomorrow. Scott, first up in the 2-minute drill, let me roll this out here for you. Nick Rolovich, big shocker. This is where the drum roll happens. He's now suing Washington State University over illegal termination. Scott, another thing that his players are probably seeing on social media and going, oh, my gosh, we just need to play this football game this week. But, man, it's a mess up at Wazoo.
He's been so coy and so quiet and so sure of his position. Like, this does not surprise me. And he probably feels like there's some legal ground that he's on. And maybe that's part of why he didn't talk to anybody is because he knew that this was going to happen. And so I'm not surprised by this. Clearly he has a point. He has a principle. He has something that he's standing on No one knows what it is now, and hopefully, you know, inquiring minds will find out soon enough why he just completely sabotaged what was turning into a pretty good season for Washington State and really, you know, his whole coaching career.
Scott, we've been questioned about our weight our entire lives. Are you going to lose that weight pretty soon? Are you going to figure this thing out? And we are figuring it out.
Yes.
But Dion Williamson getting the weight concerns coming back again. This is a guy who's had foot issues. This is a guy who's – I mean, we've seen the blown-out shoes, Scott. And you said right when he came into the league, you're like, if this dude's only 300 pounds, I'm 100 pounds. Like, this is a big man – who's got? I mean, whatever the body makeup is huge. This is not a running fat joke. This guy's body is huge, and that has to take a toll because he's also got this crazy explosive athleticism.
Yeah, the running and the movement you have to make, and as you get older, it's harder to carry that extra weight. But these basketball players are so thin, and I mean they're strong and they're stout, but they. You know, their muscle is muscle, and it's not that extra weight. And I just was shocked by how well Zion Williamson moved, you know, early on in his career. And you hate to see this become an issue. We understand weight gain, and it's just a detrimental thing. And you hate to see that be the issue of why a guy does not reach his full potential. But you know, you get in the NBA or in the NFL, really anywhere, and you have access to some of the most amazing food and some of the worst food for you opportunities. And when you know,
I love how you're breaking it down. Like what happens is when you get into the league, you're going to see eclairs with a higher fat content. You're going to be seeing some chips. You're going to be seeing a steak that's bigger than you've ever seen.
No, you're
going
to go to fine restaurants and food and eating.
And they're throwing butter.
Nothing's off limits.
A little bit of extra butter in those fine dining
restaurants. You're a struggling college student, you know, and it's ramen noodles, and that's it.
And now you're eating all this. Well, interesting. He's played 84 games in his first two seasons in the NBA, and he's out currently indefinitely. So we'll have to figure out when that's going to be turned around. All right. We had a lot of stories to get through today. We got through most of them, and we've been super excited. I just want to say we've been really, really happy to be at Hidden Valley Eye Care today. Our very first show, the very first time you guys have been on the program as well. Dr. Mackey, thanks for being with us today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.